InfoWars. Tomorrow's news, today. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen. Right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Today, Joe Kent, the Director of National Intelligence, resigned. I'm about to read his full letter on air. It is so damning. It's everything we said. Israel is in control of U.S. foreign policy. They have gotten control of Trump's mind. They are lying to the president and steering us towards total disaster. And now they're gearing up with the ADL and others saying they don't want to just arrest Americans that disagree with this, but they need to treat us the same way they did Hamas with the, quote, pagers. These are quotes by the head of the ADL. You have Trump saying that Mark Levin is the new leader of the Republican Party and that anyone that doesn't do what he says is a traitor. This is total and complete insanity. They will now say that Joe Kent, a Levantur, highly decorated combat veteran, is a Nazi. It's not going to work, Trump. This is insane. Trump was doing so much good. We turned the country around, and now they're throwing it all away. Thank you so much for joining us on this live Tuesday global transmission. Share the live feed now. I'll read the full statement coming up. I hand the baton right now to Harrison Smith. This is historic. Share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X, on Rumble, The Alex Jones Show right now. And tell folks about those local stations you're listening to. As Joe Kent said, it's time for Trump to turn back. We're doing this to get him to listen. This is tough medicine. You're the Paul Revere's. Share the live feeds now. Tell everybody you know, call the White House and tell Trump to turn back now and turn control back over to the United States of America, not to Israel and other foreign powers. Thank you.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars.com and Band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'll be sitting in for Alex, although he's been sitting in videos. We'll go to a full breakdown that he did of the Joe Kent letter in the beginning of the next segment. That, of course, has made a gigantic splash, and it is different. It's very different than other objections to Donald Trump. In fact, there was a good tweet from Orrin McIntyre about that. I have it right here. Attacks have begun, but the problem is that Kent isn't Nick Fuentes or Ian Carroll. If you want to claim that a highly respected combat veteran is playing ring and run with the death of his wife, fine. I'd be very sure of that position, because if you're wrong, the cost is spiritual. And yeah, Joe Kent has been deployed 11 times as a combat veteran. His wife lost her life in the global war on terror. He was able to actually make it to a very high position in the Office of Director of National Intelligence under Tulsi Gabbard, did great work there, and has now been forced to resign as he cannot, in good conscience, be a part of this war with Iran. A very strident and probably extremely difficult decision to make, but I think an appropriate one. Although a lot of people on our side are saying that's not the right idea. You know, it's sort of similar to Marjorie Taylor Greene. A lot of people going, hey, we know why you did what you did. We understand, you know, why you would want to throw in the towel. But, you know, it feels a little bit like abandoning the ship, or maybe, you know, you could do some good in that position. And by leaving the position, you know, you sort of surrender any ability you have to affect the outcome. I disagree, though. I think this is a statement. I think this is the most powerful thing Joe Kent could have done. I imagine, and in the letter it says, you know, there's a lot of frustration, I'm sure, with not being able to affect the outcome, with trying as much as you can to prevent this catastrophic and increasingly detrimental war with Iran. So I think he did a very brave and impressive thing that's going to make his life a hell of a lot harder. And he took that risk and made that sacrifice knowingly, because the Iran war is the end of America as we know it if it continues down the path that it goes. And I'll explain all of that. Got a great article about the true folly and cost of the war in Iran already, and it's only going to get worse. When we come back, Alex Jones is going to give a full breakdown of the Joe Kent letter, a historical moment. Stay with us.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big Panopticon AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I've got it for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Joseph Kent, the director of National Intelligence at the National Counterterrorism Center, resigned today. And his letter is so powerful. I'm going to read the whole thing here on air right now. And he's saying everything I've said, everything that Tucker Carlson has said. He was deployed 11 times to combat zones. He lost his wife to this system. And he's there looking at all the national intelligence that Tulsi Gabbard's seeing as well and knows it's a lie. They sent him a report 1 week before he struck 18, 19 days ago with Israel and said, this isn't true. What they're saying about Iran isn't true. This isn't in our national interest. This is a lie. And now we have Trump saying, if you don't support what I'm doing, an unending war, you're basically a Nazi. He said, Mark Levin is my spirit animal. It's a litmus test. If you don't endorse this Israel firster, then you're not MAGA. Well, guess what, Trump? You're not MAGA anymore. You're make Israel great again. It's totally disgusting. Now, I still support Trump overall, controlling the border, trying to end the war with Russia, all the other good things that are happening. That said, he's better than Democrats, but it doesn't matter. We are still going to put pressure on Trump to not continue to step into this mother of all miscalculations and disasters as they're basically admitting it is. We're not like the Democrats that just cultishly follow our supposed leader. And regardless, we'll continue on with populism in the spirit of 1776 in America First. Populism is winning elections all over the world. Trump rode in on this wave. He didn't create this wave. I was promoting 1776 and anti-globalism 32 years ago, long before Trump figured it out in the last 10 years. And we've influenced Trump massively. That's why it's so painful to see this unfold. So to me, this isn't a popularity contest between myself and Mark Levin or Ben Shapiro, who were never Trumpers. And Lindsey Graham was never Trumper. It's about Trump selling us out to neocon and Israeli interests, and it's so dangerous. So here is the letter from the Director of National Intelligence, Joe Kent, National Counterterrorism Center, today. President Trump, after much reflection, I decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. It is clear that we started the war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby, which they bragged about that when you say that, the ADL calls for your arrest and says we should use the same tactics with exploding pagers on Americans that don't support us. We actually said that. I played the clip yesterday. I mean, this is freaking nuts. I've never even tried to be an enemy with Israel. They're just making everybody be an enemy because it's so out of control. I'm certainly not with the Muslims either. My God. Wow. I supported the values and the foreign policies that you campaigned on in 2016, 2020, 2024, which you enacted your first term. Until June of 2025, you understood that the wars in the Middle East or a trap that robbed Americans of precious lives and of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of our nation. In your first administration, you understood better than any modern president how to decisively apply military power without getting us drawn to never-ending wars. That's why he brought in Kent, who's an expert on that. You demonstrated this by killing the head of ISIS. Early in his administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign in the last year that wholly undermined your American First platform and sowed pre-war and pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and that this, and that you should strike, that you should strike. There was a clear path to swift victory, but there wasn't. This was a lie and is the same tactic the Israelis used to draw us into the disastrous Iraq war and cost our nation the lives of thousands of our best men and women and cost trillions, I would add. We cannot make this mistake again, which we're beginning to make in a big way. Iran's even worse. So the Pentagon said, if you think Iraq and Afghanistan were bad, Iran's 10 times worse. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 times and as a Gold Star husband who lost my beloved wife, Shannon, in a war manufactured by Israel, I cannot support sending the next generation to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit to the American people nor justifies the cost of American lives. I pray that you will reflect upon this and what we are doing in Iran and that you will and who we are in this for. The time for bold action is now. You can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation. You can reverse course, chart a new path for our nation, or you can allow us to slip further toward decline and chaos. You hold the cards. It was an honor to serve in your administration and to serve our great nation. Joseph Kent, Director of National Counterterrorism Center. I mean, it's just, this is so incredibly historic, and it's true, and now he'll be called a Nazi. The talking points Trump has said come out of Mark Levin's mouth. He writes it for Sean Hannity. He is the voice of God. And you are a Nazi. You're pro-Hitler. You're the devil. Tucker Carlson's been referred for criminal investigation for daring to report on Iran. I had the whole deep state and CIA and FBI sue me. That's declassified. And then when Ed Martin investigated it, the Democrat Party lawyer, Todd Blanche, killed it. They just killed the auto pen investigation. They're killing everything. The deep state is in control. Trump has made a radical turn towards the globalists and towards Israel firsters. And it's so sad and it's so dangerous and it's so sick. So I kind of babbled through this because I'm reading my little tiny iPad over here, the text. Be sure to read it for yourself. We'll post it below. Share this incredible information. And we're going to try to get Joe Kent on the show. But regardless, he's doing this to try to get Trump to change course. He can't sit idly by while America goes in disaster with the Strait of Hormuz closed, with all the war games showing this goes from bad to worse, creates inflation, kills our recovery, and does so much more. So I don't side with the mullahs, but I don't side with going and starting a fight with them for Israel and Israel bragging about how they've done this. So we salute Joseph Kent. We salute all the other great patriots that are standing up and telling the truth. And to hear the Israel lobby talking about putting people in prison or killing American patriots here in America is just frightening. We're in maximum danger of the Israel lobby staging major false flag attacks like they were heavily involved in 9/11. So we're in a maximum point of danger right now. Somebody better keep their head on a swivel. I can't wait to hear what General Flynn, who's a big fan of Joe Kent, has to say about this because I've talked privately to Flynn. He's been pretty much at this point for a while, but he's been trying to get Trump back on course and gently nudging him. But I don't think that's going to happen unless we really speak out. God bless you all. I want to thank you all for tuning in to this live broadcast today. We're on 11 a.m., 3 p.m. Central at Infowars.com/show. And, of course, the Real Alex Jones on X. And, of course, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble. Share those feeds. You're the Paul Revere's. This is a very important time for America where the left and right and populists come together and say no to these forever wars. Thank you so much.
All right, folks. That was Alex Jones talking about Kent, Joe Kent and the letter that he just sent resigning from his position in the Office of National Intelligence over the war in Iran, saying that not only was this war not justified, he also mentioned that his wife had died in wars started for Israel. Because this is nothing new. Iran is just the latest iteration of a series of catastrophic and just absolutely rather ill-advised adventures for America in the Mideast. Over the last several decades, just sort of the capstone, the cherry on top of the sundae we've been force-fed for my entire life. It's not the only thing going badly for the Trump administration today. It seems like everything is kind of falling apart when it comes to Iran. At the same time, we're having military success in Iran, if that's what you can call it. If your idea of success is taking a functional country and turning it into rubble and chaos and, you know, murderous filth, then we're winning. Then we're succeeding. We're succeeding wildly, actually. And this is one of those things. People online will respond and say, but you know, but we're destroying Iran. And it's like, okay, for what? What are we destroying? So we took a formerly functional government and country that didn't really like us, but also wasn't going out of its way to antagonize us. And we're now going to turn it into just a chaos, just a absolute quagmire on purpose. And why? But why are we doing that? And to what end? Now, it is St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We're going to be talking about Iran and the war there as what the Telegraph is calling it, the mother of all miscalculations, Trump's mother of all miscalculations, as I've been saying, since the war started. I think this may go down in history as literally the worst mistake anybody has ever made, the worst decision ever made by any single individual. I cannot think of a worse one, especially when you see everything else happening. Now, Joe Kent is just the latest in a gigantic list of really good people that Trump brought in with him that have been forced out one way or another. And it seems like really systematically this is happening. It's kind of increasing recently. But Greg Bovino is retiring now. He was a great, you know, champion for mass deportations that we're not getting anymore. Obviously, a lot of the people working at the DOJ actually trying to get justice for the deep state crimes that we've been subjected to over the last several years, they've all been forced out. Ed Martin and others. Joe Kent is leaving now. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. are hanging on by their fingernails and just trying to achieve whatever they possibly can, despite all of the roadblocks, setbacks, and manipulation behind the scenes. I remember that, again, this is also nothing new. During the Operation Midnight Hammer in June of 2025, Donald Trump was asked by a reporter who said to him, "Your director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, says Iran is not close to having a nuclear weapon." And Donald Trump responded to that person saying, "I have other intelligence. That's wrong." Okay, so Tulsi Gabbard is the head of the ODNI, which is the office that sits on top of all of our national intelligence. Right? It is the managing structure on top of the CIA and the NSA and all of it. So she has all of the intelligence that America creates. All of the intelligence, all the information gathered by our intelligence agents is funneled up to her. She said Iran didn't have a weapon. So where was Trump getting his information? It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. We know it wasn't from American intelligence. Gee, I wonder what intelligence operation was feeding Trump information that we have to go to war with Iran. I wonder who it could possibly be. Maybe we'll take calls. You can give me some suggestions because I'm lost here. I couldn't imagine what, you know, where you could possibly be getting this information. Except it's exactly the same location where the weapons of mass destruction were sourced from in the Iraq war the first time, because again, this is a cycle that we're going to break one way or another. Now, Trump is live with the president of Ireland because of St. Patrick's Day. I want to go to that. This was just about 5 minutes ago when he started taking questions. And of course, the questions are about Iran. So I haven't seen this yet, but this is Donald Trump in the Oval Office live just minutes ago. Let's watch.
Mr. President, in getting America's allies to assist the U.S. in escorting those oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, we don't need too much help, and we don't need any help, actually. In fact, we just put out a notice. I was watching over the last couple of weeks, and all of our NATO allies were very much in favor of what we did. They thought it was very important. We were just discussing it, actually. Very important that we take out the nuclear threat from Iran, and we've done that very strongly, very powerfully. We've wiped out their Navy, wiped out their military in every aspect. Their Air Force is now decimated. They have no Air Force, no Navy. They have no radar. Their radar is entirely gone. Their anti-aircraft machinery is gone. Everything is gone. Their leaders are gone. I guess one of their top person was, they say, a lot of people say their actual top was killed yesterday, along with somebody else. Who was responsible for the killing, the man that was responsible for the killing of 32,000 people over the last 2 weeks. He was in charge of the killing of protesters It's an evil group. I mean, they've killed much more than 32,000 people. And the man who was responsible for that was also killed yesterday.
Look, they should have just gone with weapons of mass destruction. Selection of different excuses, it's not working out. We can pause it. We'll go back to this. But he's not telling the truth. And that's according to himself and everybody around him when it comes to the failure of Europe and the NATO allies to come help us. He's like, we don't even need their help. It's like, okay, well, you were begging for their help, so that's a little inconsistent, if you ask me. No, we're being humiliated, and Trump didn't think we needed their help, but now we do, but we're not getting it because the whole thing was a bad idea in the first place. Again, I don't think I'm out of line when I say it was literally the worst decision ever made. Yeah, this is his post from Truth Social. The United States has been informed by most of our NATO, quote, allies that they don't want to get involved with our military operation against the terrorist regime of Iran in the Middle East. This, despite the fact that almost every country strongly agreed with what we are doing and that Iran cannot in any way, shape, or form be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. I'm not surprised by their actions, however, because I've always considered NATO, where we spend hundreds of billions per year. Oh, my God. Yeah, his posts are getting longer, and I don't feel like reading it. No, basically, he's just flailing. He's mad. He's angry. He's demanding that all of these allies come help us with this ridiculous suicidal retardation, and they're saying no. We no longer, quote, need or desire the NATO's country's assistance. We never did. Likewise, Japan, Australia, or South Korea. In fact, speaking as President of the United States of America, by far the most powerful country in anywhere in the world, we do not need the help of anyone. Thank you for attention in this matter, President Donald J. Trump. Okay, great. Well done. Meanwhile, Lindsey Graham writes this on X. Just spoke to POTUS about our European allies' unwillingness to provide assets to keep the Strait of Hormuz functioning, which benefits Europe far more than America. I have never heard him so angry in my life. I share that anger given what's at stake. So according to Lindsey Graham, he's never seen Trump more angry than he is right now at NATO's failure to provide assistance for the ongoing, I guess, genocide in Iran? I don't know. I mean, if our goal is just to literally destroy their ability to exist, is that not definitionally exactly what the UN Convention on Genocide says? I don't know. I haven't actually thought about that till just now, but I was going to call it a war. It's not really a war so much. I mean, we are deliberately degrading the civilian infrastructure of Iran. So I don't know. Maybe there's a different word for it. Lindsey Graham continues, the arrogance of our allies to suggest that Iran with a nuclear weapon is of little concern and that military action to stop the Ayatollah from acquiring a nuclear bomb is our problem, not theirs, is beyond offensive. The European approach to containing the Ayatollah's nuclear ambitions have proven a miserable failure. The repercussions of providing little assistance to the Strait of Hormuz functioning are going to be wide and deep for Europe and America. I consider, well, then you shouldn't have, started a war then, idiot. Like, this is the thing, y'all. It's so crazy. It's so crazy how everything is going. And I put it out on X today. I'm not sure if this is the best analogy or metaphor, but it does feel like, especially on the right wing and in the Republican Party, it's like we're the battered wife. It's like we're the wife who every night the husband goes out and cheats on us and then comes back and beats us black and blue. And then when we complain about that, everybody around goes, divorce is so painful for the children. Are you really, you're going to do that to the children? You're going to do that to them? And it's like, it's not our fault that we've been betrayed. It's not our fault that we keep being abused, that we keep being taken advantage of. It's not our fault that our appropriate reaction is not in line with your designs. It's your fault for doing this. I was arguing with 99mm on X, and what he was expressing is very much the establishment Republican talking point right now, as you're seeing on mainstream media and everywhere else, which is like, oh, you're just going to let the Democrats win? They're going to flood the country with migrants. And it's like, oh, well, then I guess Trump shouldn't have gone to war with Iran then, huh? I guess that was the mistake that was made. I guess that's the person that you should be mad at. That's the action that has ruined everything, not our reaction to it. Other people are saying, Israeli derangement syndrome. It's not deranged to be aware of and opposed to the actions of a genocidal, psychopathic, little murderous state in the Middle East that our country is seemingly enslaved by, okay? I'm not the deranged one. The deranged ones are the people who seem reasonable. They seem patriotic. They seem like good Christian people, people like Lindsey Graham. All of a sudden, Israel comes up, and they do. They become deranged. I don't know what it is about Israel. I'm not like emotionally, you know, compelled by Israel one way or the other. I just don't like evil people doing evil things. I especially don't like them doing it under my flag. So I'm going to oppose that because I have an obligation to as an American in a Republican system in which I am, at the end of the day, part of the people that are responsible for the actions of our government. So I'm going to oppose it. And my opposition is going to be as loud and vociferous as the evil is, okay? So that's just how it is. But it's not emotional for me because I don't really actually give a damn about Israel or the Middle East at all, only when America gets involved. But these people, the topic of Israel comes up, and they go from, look, we all got to work together and just make things. We're all Americans at the end of the day, to nobody's innocent in Palestine. Starve the children. Bomb them to death. Show me videos of it. I love it. Send me more, right? That's deranged. You people are deranged, okay? And us sane, normal, loving, actually human people are going to oppose you at every pass, and we're going to win at the end of the day. And Joe Kent is one of them. So God bless Joe Kent for standing up against this suicidal derangement syndrome that Israel inspires in our politicians. And I wish there was more heartfelt opposition in the ranks of our government. We wouldn't be in this mess in the first place. So people are getting mad at the reaction. You should be mad at the thing that happened that caused the reaction, okay? You're mad that people don't like Israel. You think it's anti-Semitic. Maybe Israel should stop the saturation bombing campaign against the enslaved populace in Gaza. Maybe as we speak, they shouldn't be ethnically cleansing one-tenth of the land of Lebanon, which no matter what you feel about Iran, no matter what you feel about Gaza and Hamas, Lebanon is not any of those, and the excuses made to attack those places don't actually apply to Lebanon. So they're insane, and we're going to stop them one way or the other, and we would love all the help we can get in setting things right and freeing America from the cancerous, poisonous domination of Zionists. Yeah, all are welcome, but all who would rather make excuses or try to work with these people, you're the enemy. So that's just how it is. It's just how it is and how it's going to be. Trump has now responded to the National Counterterrorism Center Director Joe Kent resigning over the war in Iran. Quote, I always thought he was a nice guy, but I thought he was very weak on security. I didn't know him well, but he seemed like a pretty nice guy. But when I read his statement, I realized it's a good thing he's out because he said Iran was not a threat. Oh, and as we know, guys, Iran has killed 1,000 Americans. Which 1,000 Americans? We don't know. When did it happen? Yeah, who can say? But we've been at war with them for 47 years. They've been chanting death to America. Not that that really matters, and not that we don't have Americans here who chant death to America, but it doesn't matter because they killed 30,000 protesters. I mean, we never saw evidence of it, and there was never any actual verified claim from anybody that that actually happened. But these are the lies that we keep repeating because we have no other reason to do what we did. Of course it's an imminent threat. It's been imminent for 47 years. But actually, we have insider information from the UK that it was never a threat. I'll tell you that on the other side.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue T-shirt, and more. Take advantage of that right now at theauctionstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultra Methylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, the meltdown has begun, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Kent's resignation letter is causing an absolute meltdown on X from everybody who, frankly, I think are infuriated that somebody like Joe Kent was allowed past their filtering system. Somebody with this type of morality was never supposed to be allowed in the halls of power. This is a, you know, terrifying breach of their security systems. This type of attitude where you stand up for what's right, where you refuse to go along with a war with no particular aims whose entire purpose seems both just murderous activity in Iran while simultaneously destroying America. They thought they'd weeded everybody like that out. And trust me, I know some of them. There's a very sophisticated, multi-layered filtering system before anybody gets anywhere close to power in the federal government that you have to get approved by a very sophisticated, layered system of Israelis before you ever get into any halls of power. And I'm not even kidding. We are literally taken over and infiltrated. But here's the thing. it's been this way for a long time. We have been in this situation for the last 40 years at least. I mean, hell, you don't get into the first Iraq war without this system already being in place. So the fact that it is now sort of being forced out into the open, being exposed in a way that it never had, this is a victory in and of itself. I know it doesn't feel like that, but it really is. The Epstein files, the fact that they got released is an absolute victory in and of itself. Our side, the freedom-loving, America-first, patriotic side, is actually racking up wins right now, which is why you're seeing everybody else go crazy, which is why you're seeing the power structure flip out and desperately try every different tactic at once to try to retain power. It's an act of desperation. It's an act of flailing incompetence. And it's not going to work because we are aware of what's going on. Our ranks are growing daily. The outrage that the bad guys are inspiring is motivating people to take action. We actually have the initiative right now, and it's an amazing thing. And this has always been the beauty of InfoWars. And this is always why Alex Jones and InfoWars have been attracted, have attracted people like myself who, like, I want to know what's going on. I got to know what the truth is. A lot of people are actually happy to be ignorant. I'm sure you realize this if you've ever tried to talk to people about what's really going on in the world. They get scared. They get very scared about learning the truth. They get very scared that, you know, things might not actually be a Disney movie behind the scenes. And they just don't want to talk about it. Their brain shuts off. They go into a fight or flight response mode and they can't handle it. I've never been that type of person. Anybody listening to my voice, you're not that type of person. You want to know the truth, even if it's unpleasant, even if it's brutal and upsetting and reveals your entire life to be a lie. You'd rather know the truth than continue living the lie. And InfoWars has always been here to both tell you the reality about what's going on, tell you the truth, pull back the curtain and show you the disgusting way the sausage is made, but then tell you how you fix it. But then remind you that we have the tools that we need, and all we need is the will and the motivation to exert it. And that's always been the way Alex has pushed it. That's why our motto has always been, you are the resistance. You are the info war. The opposite of trust the plan, patriots in control, right? The whole point of the QAnon PSYOP and a lot of what's going on now is just relax, just lay back, don't do anything. Literally the opposite of the message you need to hear and the message InfoWars has been spreading. So, you know, InfoWars, and again, it's why they hate us. It's why we've been the number one target. It's not just that we have the information. Lots of people have the information. The information wasn't even secret necessarily. It was in their own white papers. They just didn't want anybody else spreading it to the masses. But it wasn't just about spreading the information. It was about telling you that this information is just the launching pad. That's the first part. That's the thing to wake you up, right? Now it's time to stand up. Now it's time to move. Now it's time to put this information into action and reclaim our government, reclaim our politics and our politicians from the lies that enslave them. So I'm so happy that you find folks out there in the audience recognize this and respond to this and feel like we do, that not only are things not great, but that they could be. Things are not going the direction that they should be going, but that's a matter of who's behind the wheel and which direction they're turning it. And all we need to do is claim that power for ourselves. So I understand why some people are upset that Joe Kent has left his position. But I think it's a powerful move of protest that is having a very powerful effect on the way, you know, this whole thing's being interpreted. Again, Joe Kent is not a radical. He's not an extremist. He's not a lefty. He's an 11-time deployed combat veteran who lost his wife in the war. And anybody claiming that this guy is motivated by anything other than honor and integrity is lying to you. And it really is as simple as that. Now, Alex Jones is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. He's supposed to be on vacation, but I can't blame him. He can't stay away. And folks, that's just how we are. Because we don't, again, the irony of all of the discussion online about who's controlled, who's, you know, right, who's wrong, who's, you know, lying, who's telling the truth. we take very unpopular positions a lot of times. We do not ever, it never even really enters into our mind, to be honest with you, what would be the more popular or, you know, potentially successful thing to support. It's just about what's true. We will take on the unpopular positions. We will take on the positions that the powers that be would rather us not. We will forego bountiful rewards for telling lies in order to tell the truth. And we're able to do that for one reason in particular. That's because we have the support of you, the InfoWars audience, at thealexjonesstore.com. It's not just that you're getting a great product. It's not just that, you know, maybe we say something that you like, so you know, support us on that. You're supporting a movement that has already changed the world, will continue to change the world, and has had no small role to play in the fact that people like Joe Kent and Tulsi Gabbard are even in the positions that they're in the first place. This is all reflective of the mindset and the worldview that Alex Jones himself first championed, codified, crystallized into the information and info war strategy. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We have relaunched Iodine T3. It's the new and improved version of X2. And folks, X2 is one of these products, like iodine is one of these things that until you try it, you have no idea what it's going to do for you. And it's a little different for everybody. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not making medical statements, but I do have friends that have started taking iodine on my recommendation, and they'll hit me up and be like, dude, I started taking iodine last month. I'm sleeping an hour or two less a night. Literally, this is literally a conversation I've had with a friend. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying this will happen to you. I'm saying you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know what, you know, part of your life you might think, ah, it's just how I am. I just need extra sleep. You know, that's just who I am. And it's like, no, actually, you're deficient in iodine. If you had the appropriate amount of iodine, you wouldn't suffer in that way. Again, say it one more time. Not a doctor. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to you, but who knows what's going to happen for you? Only, you know, you're the only one who will know when you try it out. And until you do, you won't know. I've had incredible effects with iodine and taken on a regular basis. I also use it. I almost use it most as a topical thing. I always put it on if I get a bug bite or something. I put the iodine on it. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't even know if I'm supposed to do that, but it works. So I'm going to keep doing it. It's just an incredible product. Trifecta iodine tincture T3 at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. So I do understand we'll be joined by Alex very shortly. He's supposed to be relaxing, but then again, we're in the middle of the most exciting time in all of human history, so how could you stay away? And that really is something to know as well. Like, I don't know, I'm a big fan of Roman history, and I always read that, like, back then, you know, for entertainment, they would just go down to the Forum, and you'd get to watch frickin' Caesar arguing with Cicero, and it's like, oh my God, if only we could, you know, can you imagine how lucky those people were to get to witness history being made right then? That's what X is. X is the Forum, and we are all the senators arguing about what the fate of the Republic will be, and we are charting the course of all of human history from here on out. So it's very exciting stuff going on right now, and I'm just honored to be a part of it. Buckley Carlson, this is Tucker Carlson's brother, has this to say about Joe Kent quitting. He says, the jig is up. Slander, censorship, persecution, prosecution, physical attacks, and even more murder, all will increase exponentially as Israel and its sharp-clawed agents here in America recognize their more than half a century stranglehold is coming to a blessed end. Beware, be careful. And this is in response to Max Blumenthal. So again, we are on the march, and I was having a conversation with somebody about this, because I'm not black-pilled. As bad as things are going, as much as we have been betrayed by Trump, look at the response. Look at how powerful it's been. This might be that shake-up event that we really need to actually fully, once and for all, break the two-party system and create some sort of political party that can represent America and America alone and not be controlled in this, you know, blue versus green, red versus blue kind of play acting that gets done. And as James Fishback puts it, the two wings of the same bird. Maybe the Iran war is the shotgun that knocks it out of the sky, metaphorically and peacefully and politically and all that great stuff. But, you know, if you don't like me using strong words, like, you don't understand what's going on here. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about war and murder and chaos and genocide. Like, these things are real. This is intense. This is not the time to politely disagree. I understand that we're, you know, but we disagree a little bit. It's like, I don't know, one side has made the worst decision anybody's ever made and got us into World War III deliberately for no particular reason. I think it's okay to be a little bit, like, intense about this. I think it's actually necessary. I think actually it's a strategy to lull us into complacency by just like, well, just calm down. Let's just approach this calmly. It's like the guy with the knife at your neck going, well, let's just relax a little bit. There's no need to freak out. It's like, no, you have a knife to our neck. It's okay. It's okay to freak out. But of course, if you freak out somebody with a knife to your neck, you might die. So we have to freak out in a controlled fashion, if you understand what I'm saying. But I'm not black-pilled in the slightest. I am being more intense. I'm using more, you know, deliberately provocative language because we have them on the run. Now is the time to double down. Now is not the time to, like, the last thing I want to do is to put across the idea that, like, all hope is lost and we've been betrayed and they've won and, you know, we can't do anything about it. That's not it at all. Now, in this, on the battlefield of the information war, their line is wavering. Now we send in the cavalry charge. That's how this works. They're freaking out. They're scrambling. They're trying to figure out how to pull victory out of the jaws of defeat in a total quagmire. They're trying to figure out how to end it quickly while also trying to figure out how to make up for all of what we've lost so far. They're scrambling. They're disorganized. They're routing. We run them down. That's the play now. That's what we have to do now. That's where we have to push now. There has never been a greater opportunity for both exposure and removal of the poisonous foreign influences that have strangled our country. This is an opportunity, not a crisis. And it sucks that it got us to this point. And I would have loved to be sitting here today reminiscing on the last year of victory. I'd love to be sitting here going, another 100,000 deportations a day. Look at that. And James Comey has another broadcast from prison where he's been sent for the crimes he committed. But that didn't happen, did it? None of that happened. And so here we are a year later at war with Iran. No deep state convictions. Very few deportations. I'm not downplaying the good things that Trump has done. But if we don't get a handle on this thing now, it's only going to get worse. Alex Jones joins us from the road. Are we ready to go to Alex Live now? Alex, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Harrison, you're absolutely right. We should all be white-pilled because the global awakening is here, but we should be realist about different political movements we put in to do our bidding are not always going to follow all the way through. So I've got some very historic parallels. This is so important, what I'm about to say, so people understand how the head of the Counterterrorism National Center, right under Gabbard, how big what he did was, and to strongly get Trump back on course, to basically say there's been an Israeli coup over foreign policy. Now they're trying to get domestic control of the Republican Party and since the American people. This is all out in the open. So imagine how big this is compared to Walter Cronkite coming out 60 years ago and saying basically we've lost the war. The Pentagon knows it internally. They're covering up. And then Daniel Ellsberg, who was just a high-level analyst coming out and saying he'd seen all the real intelligence, that it was just a big way to make money in a war game and that we couldn't win it without nuking North Vietnam. Imagine how big that was, ending the Vietnam War. And then remember Dr. David Kelly, who right before the Iraq War in 2003 was their head analyst, and he was getting ready to go public and already leaked that it was all a fraud and a lie, and so they murdered him. That's how important this is. And Joe Kent in stature is even more high profile, a bigger deal than Dr. David Kelly. So first, I'm going to go to a clip of Walter Cronkite from almost 59 years ago, basically right now, or almost 60. Then we'll go back again to Daniel Ellsberg, so that's on record, the Pentagon Papers. And then I want to put up there the link I put for Dr. David Kelly. Just search his name, and it all comes up about him, the weapons inspector and England's main advisor on that, to understand how historic and what a big deal this all is. If you just type in Walter Cronkite says the Vietnam War is lost, you can see his full 10-minute broadcast on that and hear everything he said but I'm just going to play a little bit of what Walter Cronkite had to say almost 60 years ago. Then I'm going to come back with some more statements on this on the other side. But here's Walter Cronkite.
For it seems now more certain than ever that the bloody experience of Vietnam is to end in a stalemate. But it is increasingly clear to this reporter that the only rational way out then will be to negotiate, not as victors, but as an honorable people who lived up to their pledge to defend democracy and did the best they could.
And then again, Cronkite goes on to basically break down the Pentagon had lied to everyone. And when we post this to X later, I'm going to ask Wilson to post the full, or at least the first 5 minutes, Walter Cronkite's newscast in there so people can get the full context of that. Then Daniel Ellsberg comes out and confirms, he'd already been leaking information, official Pentagon reports, this is going on. Now, instead of us having to be in Vietnam for many, many years before the truth came out, the Office of National Intelligence, 16 other agencies, including the one that Kent headed up, 11-time combat veteran, told Trump, or I almost said Bush, George W. 2.0, that all this is lies, this is Israeli propaganda, and they'll block the Strait of Hormuz, and the whole thing will go from bad to worse, so don't do it. And so we saw all that unfold. And they still did it. And now how many days are we into this now, Harrison?
We're coming up on 3 weeks. We're in the third week.
Yeah. So it started March 1st, so what is today?
Today's the 17th.
That's 17 days into this. Now they're saying at least September. First, it was going to be 4 days long. It's about regime change. And just because we hate the mullahs, just because we hate the Islamists, doesn't mean we walk right into a neocon trap. Do we have more Muslims here or less since 2001? We have 15 times in the West on average. Okay, so this is the globalist plan. This is how they operate. Israel, you made the 20-minute documentary that's got 20 million views. You should re-air that at the end of the third hour today, or at least post it and post at the end of this. In fact, when we post this text, also just post the documentary at the end, where it's hundreds of times Israel saying, we're going to suck the American empire dry, we'll be the new center of the world with Israel as a superpower, and a greater Israel, and all this delusional stuff. And then Greenblatt says, anybody saying that Israel's behind this to be censored or arrested. And then now we played the clip yesterday where he says very clearly, the same thing we use with pagers, and violence, we need to do that to people domestically in the United States. I mean, this is megalomania. Everybody knows I've never been just an anti-Israel guy. They do a lot of predatory stuff, like a lot of other big powerful groups, the Chinese, you name it. I just oppose it. But now Israel sees the Democrats falling apart, and they're really trying to enter the power vacuum. So again, Daniel Ellsberg will put that on screen, the Pentagon Papers, high-level analyst. That was the end of it when that finally came out. They tried to put him in prison. Then Dr. David Kelly, they weren't about to let that happen, so they killed him. I remember I've interviewed Ellsberg before, by the way. He's dead now. And then you come onto the modern version of that, and that is Joe Kent. But at an even higher level stature and background, his wife dying, the Gold Star family, they're going to have real trouble, like you said, demonizing him. So here's what I'm telling everybody. We continue to expose the Democrats, open borders, pedophilia, nuclear war with Russia. They're even worse. But the Democrats became so anti-Israel because that's what they promoted at the universities, that a lot of leftist Jews came over, put their money in Trump. But they're Israel first. And so I don't want to blow up Israel. I don't want to blow up the Muslims. I want to run our own country. We have to point out what's happened. Trump's gone full neocon. Mark Levin is now the litmus test. He says you must follow his worldview or you're not MAGA. That's totally insane. This will make us lose the midterms. It's out of control. But as Kent said, we got to put a lot of pressure on Trump. Turn back now before it's too late. This is a really humanitarian thing he's done. I bet money Gabbard's getting ready to go out. General Flynn's no fan of the mullahs, but he is all about us running our own sovereignty. If America really decided to go take out the mullahs, that's one thing. But don't sleepwalk us into this situation. But I'm going to say this. Everybody should be white-pilled. It's been awake for a long time. Because the red-pilling worldwide, not just here, is at record levels. And so these globalists can play their old games and be above the law. But the court of public opinion, they're being destroyed. Their systems are falling apart. And half the fraud, waste, and abuse, over $1 trillion, has been cut. A lot of good still being done by Trump. We just have to look at it, put major pressure on Trump where he's bad,
support the good appointments where it's good, and build up towards the midterms to get more patriots into government, more people like Ed Martin into the Justice Department in the future. You know, Ed Martin doing a great job. Everything he did got killed by Todd Blanche. So the first 6 months was great. They kicked out Elon. That was the beginning of the end, beginning of the collapse of this thing. But regardless, folks, the fight goes on. It's the Democrats trying to work to get us off the air right now. Todd Blanche just killed the investigation into what was happening. So that's the reality right now. And InfoWars is set to be shut down. We're fighting to stop it, but it looks like we can't. April 15th or so, they're like turning off the internet, turning off everything. The U.S. Receiver failed in federal court with all the fake auctions and crap, and now it's the state receiver with the same judge that ran the show trial. And so just spread the word about Real Alex Jones on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble. We'll be announcing new news sites and things and all of that, you know, right when all this happens, and we're not going to miss a lick. Same satellites, same radio stations, everything, and the fight continues, but we need your financial support at thealexjonesstore.com. Get some Patriot apparel. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the incredible true pure iodine T3, even better than X2 before it sells out. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We will continue to fight and promote the Republic, promote good leaders in corporations and media and academia and government, and not just here, but around the world. So TheAlexJonesStore.com. I salute all of you watching and listening right now. Support those local radio stations. Spread the word about those if you're listening to one of those. But whatever you do, share the feeds from Real Alex Jones on X. If you're not on that, go to Rumble, The Alex Jones Show. And for now, InfoWars.com/show. Hit your email list, your text message list. Tell everybody you know the truth's being told. This is a big deal. We got to get behind Joe Kent. They're going to have big problems demonizing him and saying anybody that isn't for this war is a Nazi, as they're literally saying we should blow up Americans with pagers. I mean, Israel has gone crazy. And we just need to pray for peace and pray for an awakening in Israel. A lot of folks in Israel don't like what's happening as well. Michael Savage was on 3 months ago and said a lot of top Israeli generals he talks about says this is all insane. So our enemy is not Chinese people. It's the communist Chinese. My enemy is not the Jewish people. It is the crazies that are running it who know the more they attack us, the more Israel gets attacked, the more power the controllers get. This is a Hegelian dialectic, problem and access solution. But regardless, we'll continue to tell the truth, continue to stand for justice. We can't do it without you. Wherever the truth is, we'll report it as long as you'll back us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Pray for the broadcast and buy products again at TheAlexJonesStore.com and spread the word. God bless you all. Great job, Harrison Smith. I'm going to hand the baton back to you and the incredible raft of guest hosts coming up. I'll be following reports throughout the week. God bless you.
Thank you, Alex. Yes, Robert Barnes will be taking over in the next hour. Mike Adams after him, Elijah Schaefer in the fourth hour. TheAlexJonesStore.com to support us. And look, Are the Jewish people in America in a good situation now because of Israel? The whole time that we've been arguing against the wars, it's because it's making everything worse for everybody. It's making things worse for the Israelis, making things worse for the Jews. We want everybody to come together and fight against tyranny, but they won't listen to us.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We have a new product in at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, TheAlexJonesStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Harrison Smith. Robert Barnes will be taking over for me here momentarily. I'll pass the baton off to him, but Joe Kent's resignation letter continues to be the story of the day. Mark Levin is now responding to this. So, Jackie Heinrich on X wrote, senior admin official says Joe Kent was, quote, a known leaker and was cut out of POTUS intelligence briefings months ago. He has not been part of any Iran planning discussions or briefings at all. Officials say the White House told DNI Gabbard Kent should be fired for suspected leaks, but she never did. Mark Levin responds to this. So this SOB who leaked my meeting last year with POTUS is Tucker Carlson and Gabbard didn't fire him? God, this guy told on me to the American people that I was trying to get a war going with Iran. How dare he? I'm in charge. I'm the king. I get to start wars. You're not allowed to tell anybody. Ridiculous. He goes on to say, the DOJ should open a criminal investigation to determine if Kent leaked any classified information. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, Tucker Carlson, Joe Kent. Yeah, these guys are total criminals, right? These guys are un-American. The guy whose wife died in service of America, the guy who did 11 tours of service in America, Tucker Carlson, the icon of conservative Americanism for decades. These are the bad guys, huh? That's what you want us to believe. These are the people that need to be thrown into prison forever. Why? Because they oppose your genocidal insanity, because they're actually trying to stand up against the hostile takeover by a foreign power of our federal government as they turn us towards war, chaos, and misery instead of focusing on the very basic and obvious things we should be doing for our country. Like, I don't know, you know, I think now might be a good time to reference, now that I think about it, a couple of Jeffersonian quotes. A couple of quotes from Thomas Jefferson, I think, very applicable right now. I know everybody's jumping to the one that I also have in mind, that the tree of liberty has to be watered from time to time. That's not actually one I was talking about. It's that when a law is unjust, you are obligated to break it. Right? Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But basically, our morality, our ethics, our humanity is not determined by some law that some subversive interloper forced down the throat of our government. Just because some moneyed interests have taken control of the levers of power doesn't mean that they actually now dictate right and wrong. They're manipulating right and wrong to get what they want. And so they're trying to send good people to prison while the worst people in the world continue to make billions. This is wrong on a metaphysical level beyond human law, and it's right to oppose it. And it's right to oppose it up to and beyond sacrificing yourself or others for this truth. The DOJ should open a criminal investigation, he says, to determine if Kent leaked any classified information. I think we need to make Zionism illegal. I think we need to criminalize support of Israel in this country in the same way that we criminalize support of terrorist organizations. I think we need to systematically eradicate the Zionist influence in this country by shutting down all of their organizations, criminalizing their support, confiscating their money, and ripping them out of our government systems. I think that's absolutely not even up for debate. It's mandatory at this point. We have this foreign country who is destroying our country. We need to do something about that. And I say this because I'm concerned, not fully, but certainly it contributes to it, to the deliberate and like purposefully created anti-Semitism in this country that is going to end in catastrophe one way or the other. To protect American Jews, I think we need to very harshly and severely separate out the Zionist Israeli foreign influence from our country so that we can delineate between true American patriots of any color, race, religion, or ethnicity, and the foreigners that simply want to use our country, our power, our prosperity to their own despicable ends. Okay? That's my stance. That's where I'm at. And I think we need to be pushing that with everything we've got. Oh, now he's a leaker all of a sudden. Oh, as soon as he goes against you, oh, all of a sudden you've had this secret thing about him that you haven't acted on yet. He was a leaker, but you didn't fire him and you didn't do anything about it. But now you're talking about it. Very suspicious. I don't believe it.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexShowStore.com.
You're watching The Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today.
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Into Betty Valentine.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of The Alex Jones Show is on Infowars.com band.video. Robert Barnes will be taking over for me here and hosting the second hour. We'll pass the baton off momentarily. But everything kind of unraveling today. I mean, the Joe Kent letter is obviously the big one, and that's causing its own sort of, you know, spiraling out of insanity with, you know, people who very forcefully and then like deliberately push for America to go to war with Iran. The foreign interloper subversive elements are very mad that a patriotic American was standing up to them. And by the way, we've been reporting on this the entire time Trump has been in his second administration, because the whole time there's been an obvious conflict behind the scenes. There's been an obvious tug of war and push and pull from the people in the Trump administration, the pro-Israel, pro-war with Iran faction, and the pro-America, anti-war with Iran faction. This has been a combat taking place behind the scenes. And I've always explained it like we're looking at the surface of the ocean or the lake, and you can see big bubbles come up every once in a while. And we go, there's something going on down there. There's a squid and a whale fighting each other. We can't quite see it, but you can kind of see the dark shapes moving, and you get these bubbles every once in a while. But we haven't quite, you know, pierced the veil and gone behind the scenes, but we can still interpret what's going on. So whether it's, you know, the Signal group leak with where they tried to out Pete Hegseth, and you had Mike Waltz, who was a national security advisor for Donald Trump, secretly leaking information and communicating with Netanyahu right before Benjamin Netanyahu came to negotiate with Trump. He was caught for that. A literal Israeli spy in the highest levels of our government, in the National Security Administration, caught leaking this information. So this whole time, there's been this back and forth tug of war battle taking place. We've been reporting on it. Joe Kent is just the latest bubble to burst to the surface and show what's going on underneath. And because of that, we're hearing about Mark Levin, talking about him being a leaker. He's removed from intelligence briefings and all that sort of stuff. So it's all coming to the surface, but this has been a long simmering conflict in the Trump administration. Robert Barnes joins me now and actually takes over for me. He's going to grasp the baton and take us into the future. Robert Barnes, thanks so much for being here with us. I assume you've read the Joe Kent letter. What is your take on this?
Not a surprise. Joe Kent is a great hero of America. Provided, you know, did 11 combat tours. His wife died in service to the country. Ran for Congress multiple times. So he was basically the number two under Tulsi Gabbard as the director of national intelligence. And there has been an inside war ever since Trump was elected between OG MAGA and the Israel lobby that had bought so much influence in the Trump campaign through donations in the fall of 2024. And much of this was not known to the public, but it was out there if you had you know, knew people that were involved and connected to it. The latest person to be denied service in the Trump administration over his prior very modest criticisms of Israel was Jeremy Carl, who was going to be in the State Department. The many anybody who has voiced any skepticism at all of the Israel lobby has been systematically and systemically purged from the Trump administration, which began all the way back when Dan Caldwell was kicked out. Now, apparently, Tulsi Gabbard's bringing him back in to replace Joe Kent when he was working at, for Pete Hegseth, our Secretary of War. So this has been an ongoing battle. The key question has been all along, to what extent will the Trump administration be completely hijacked by the Israel lobby and its donors? And many of these donors, like Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, like John Paulson, Bill Ackman, a whole bunch of them, are people that have been longstanding critics of Trump, who waged political and every other means of war against President Trump all the way back to 2016. But he did a deal with the devil in the fall of 2024 to take their money. As Howard Lutnick admitted, who raised money for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and is all the way through the Epstein files, despite his public lies otherwise, admitted the reason why he shifted to Trump in 2024, now he's Secretary of Commerce, is because he's a huge Israel supporter, Israel firster, and that Trump promised to be the best president Israel has ever had in the White House. So this has been ongoing building. All the reality is people are out there, you know, buying into the Fox News, BoomerCon propaganda slop. Iran, as you know, and just to give you an idea, so Joe Kent, one of the great American heroes, provided extensive military service to our country. His wife died in military service to our country. Became politically active to try to stop our stupid, foolish wars that led to the death of his wife and many of his colleagues in various conflicts in the Middle East and the Arab and Muslim worlds sent over the past two decades, or really three decades now. And that's why he agreed to volunteer for service as the head of national counterterrorism. So when he says Iran presented no imminent risk to the United States, you could have no more credible source than that. Now, there's going to be a massive smear campaign against Joe Kent now that he is out. They'll accuse him of leaking, which is what they've accused everybody of that was Israel skeptical. They come up with some bogus pretext to try to be critical of him. Joe Kent clearly was not leaking because nobody else knew about his public, about his criticism inside the White House of this war. Instead, the president has chosen to basically be the puppet of Bibi Netanyahu. And you don't have to go very far. You can look at Secretary Rubio's comments about how we started the war because we thought Israel was going to start anyway. The same statement made by President Trump in various contexts and capacities over the last 2 weeks, where he's implicitly acknowledged he did it for Israel. That's the only logic. Now, he can't publicly admit that fully in the way Joe Kent details in his resignation letter, because he knows how weak and impotent that makes him look. But it's the reality. Now, you're going to have people like Matt Boyle over at Breitbart run cover for the administration in order to get continuing access and, frankly, lie about what's happening with Trump. The people on the right and the institutional media and a lot of the influencer space are out there regurgitating the Fox News BoomerCon MIC slop. When they know it's nonsense. The reality is President Trump used to be someone who understood the risk of Middle Eastern regime change war. President Trump used to be someone who would listen to others and try to get second, third, and fourth opinions. He no longer is. When I was up in the in D.C. in January, I was told by high-ranking officials in the Trump administration that they had been specifically told, do not share any negative information with the president. He only wants to hear things that he will interpret positively. If you share negative news, then you are at risk of being isolated from any degree of influence in the administration. That's how bad it is. Trump has developed memento memory. And that's why you've seen him say things that are just patently false provably false about this conflict in the first 2 weeks. Contradict himself repeatedly, sometimes in the same statement, sometimes in the same post. I mean, you just saw it in the last 24 hours. President Trump went out begging for NATO assistance. All the other NATO allies said, no, thank you. And so what does he post today? Well, I never wanted anybody's assistance. Well, you're the one on record just asking for it 24 hours ago. This is the sort of delusional mindset that the president is currently in. He is going King Lear mad. That is the reality of it. Everybody up there knows it. Everybody connected to the administration knows it. Matt Boyle knows it. So he's out there lying, talking about, President Trump's known for his great listening skills. Well, just listen to what President Trump said today. What President Trump said today is that he doesn't want anyone around that disagrees with him about Iran. He publicly said it. So quit pretending he wants to listen. Quit pretending he's a good listener. Quit pretending he's getting second, third, and fourth opinions. He's not. His own Pentagon told him the Straits of Hormuz would be closed. His own Pentagon told him that they would counterattack throughout our bases throughout the Gulf. So did the National Intelligence Report that is authored by Tulsi Gabbard and others, that brings all of our intelligence together, told him there would be no regime change in Iran with this attack. And yet, what did he do? He just ignored it. And not only does he ignore it, he literally memory holes it. And, you know, like the movie Memento, it disappears and vanishes into a form of amnesia. And instead of being sort of honest about all of this, that's why you see him say things that everybody knows are false. Says, nobody thought they would attack our bases in the Gulf. Iran publicly said they would. What in the world are you talking about? Oh, no, everybody thought the regime would collapse. Your own national intelligence report said no, it wouldn't. Nobody thought they would close the Straits of Hormuz. That's been part of the simulated strategy for conflict with Iran for 30 years. He's saying things that are patently false, that he knows or should know are patently false, that he's been told are patently false. And yet he believes these patently false things. Why? Because he is literally closing out of his mind anything that disagrees with what he wants to be true. Donald Trump has forgot the lessons of his own book, Art of the Deal. If you read Art of the Deal, one of the things that was seminal from it that I learned as a kid and that I always remembered was that the right mindset to approach anything in life is a bifurcated and balanced one. It's to expect the best. This is the power of positive thinking that President Trump grew up with, people like Norman Vincent Peale and the like. He went to a church that was a big on positive thinking church. So expect the best. But, he said, tether it with realism. So you have idealism on the one hand, realism on the other. Tether it by planning for the worst. Trump no longer is planning for the worst. He no longer even wants to hear information or intelligence that could be about the worst. Some of us have been warning about this now for months. Alex and I talked about it all the way back when he mishandled the Epstein files, said that he's buying into bogus information about how this will play. Nobody cares about the Epstein files. It's irrelevant, the Epstein files. It's inconsequential, the Epstein files. There'll be no political blowback if we hide the Epstein files and refuse to do accountability in Epstein prosecutions. That was all preposterous. Just whatever you think about the Epstein files, whatever you think about President Trump, that was bad advice that he was voluntarily taking. And so we said that he was in a dangerous, perilous path to undermine and sabotage his own administration. If he went, it would be self-sabotage of a kind we haven't seen since Nixon with Watergate, if he went along with it. And yet he did. And he continues to convince himself of patently false things. He's one step away from being Nixon in 1974, walking around the White House, talking to the paintings as if they're real people. We've got to face reality here. The people who told me this in January, there were high-ranking members of the administration, they wanted to get this information out. They're like, we're in a very perilous place. President Trump doesn't want to hear any information that counters what he wants to have happen. And what that will do is it will put the administration in harm's way. He will make catastrophically bad decisions that will destroy his own presidency, destroy his own legacy, and gift the Democrats control of the House of Representatives, control of the United States Senate, control in 2028 of the White House, where they may be able to pack the Supreme Court, where they may be able to pack the Senate and pack the House of Representatives by adding states like Puerto Rico and D.C., that they may be able to pack the Senate and the House for real, for full, by giving mass amnesty to 20 million plus illegals in the country. That is the risk, and that is the gamble of what the president is taking the chance on by engaging in this foolish conflict with not only extraordinary geopolitical risk around the world, but with domestic economic blowback risk. And he's fracturing the Democratic political coalition, the Trump political coalition, that supports him and empowering the Democrats. He's now gifted them the anti-war cause, and he's going to gift them the accountability issue because now he's going to gift them the affordability issue. I mean, it's extraordinary. He took the Epstein files from an asset to a liability. He took war from an asset to a liability. He took the economy from an asset to a liability. That's what he's running the risk of with this conflict. And and just step back. I see a lot of people are buying into various boomer con slop. The war is going great. Trump's won 6 times already. Then why are we still there? If he won, why are we still there? We won, right? Can we go home now? I mean, Trump's been declaring victory now for 2 weeks straight. When do we go home if we've won? If this is not an endless war, this is not a forever war, if this is not an indeterminate war with indeterminately achievable objectives. So step back and use some metrics and look at those metrics for how to measure success. If you think, well, what are the objectives, according to President Trump himself? It's regime change. It's that you have a pro-Iran, a pro-Israel, pro-U.S. government that does not threaten the rest of the region in any way, politically or militarily. What is the probability we are going to achieve that? Well, it was predicted that we would get it right away. So Bibi Netanyahu promised President Trump, as is referenced in Joe Kent's resignation letter. Joe Kent's resignation letter references 2 key lies. One is that the Israel lobby convinced the president of a big lie, which was that Iran was an imminent threat to the safety and security of the United States. Go back to the press secretary who just a week ago said there was no such risk when she was saying, don't worry about any kind of sleeper cells or terror existence. Which is it? Now she's out there saying, well, yes, there was always an imminent risk. Well, did you lie last week or are you lying today? Which is it? I don't think holding that little cross around your chest is going to save you from your lies. She's becoming like a Biden press secretary. Embarrassing to watch in live time. But what's the probability it happens in the future? Well, the latest National Intelligence Report reaffirms, one co-authored by Joe Kent, one done by Tulsi Gabbard. And what does it say? What does it provide? What does it substantiate? That there is going to be no major regime change to a pro-U.S., pro-Israel administration in Iran. So what was supposedly the second objective? Well, that Iran can never have a nuclear weapon. Well, I'll give you a prediction right now. Trump's wars on Iran will lead Iran to develop a nuclear weapon. Something that the prior Ayatollah, the one we killed, prohibited for a quarter century by his fatwa against nuclear weapons, which, by the way, is the only reason Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons, is his fatwa against it. That fatwa is now gone. It died with him. His son is a much stronger hardliner. They're not going to be able to kill his son because there are plenty of reason to believe and rumors that he is in Moscow getting medical treatment from the attacks that took place that killed his father, killed his wife, killed his mother, and may have killed his 1-year-old daughter. He was someone who came up a harder line in the second generation anyway. The main saboteur. The main insider we were planning on being the Delcy Rodriguez of Iran. Well, we'll get to him. But as Trump has said, though he has not said his name, he's dead because he got outed by all of this. So the probabilities of regime change to a pro-U.S., pro-Israel regime in Iran that is peaceful and not militaristic is extremely low, according to all the people that do meaningful studies of this. Whether you're talking about our own director of national intelligence and complete national intelligence report, whether you're talking about past national intelligence and military simulation reports, whether you're talking about the people like Brandon Weishert, who has studied this in great detail, people like Professor Pate, people like Professor Mearsheimer, a wide range of scholars who only study issues of geopolitics, and many of them prioritize issues connected to Iran, come to the same conclusion that our own director of national intelligence has come to. We cannot achieve regime change to the kind of regime we want in Iran through this war, and it is now less likely than ever. Indeed, Israel's own internal intelligence says the regime is more likely to be a more hardline regime that is more like the way in which Iran is going to get it with nuclear weapons is because of President Trump's attack on Iran. His attack on Iran increases the risk that Iran gets nuclear weapons. Doesn't decrease it, doesn't diminish it, doesn't destroy it, it increases it. That's the reality, that's the same conclusion that many people in the geopolitics side of the equation have come to the conclusion of. It's the reason why, even though the Israel lobby has been begging for this war with Iran since 1989, Poppy Bush still knew not to go in, Bill Clinton knew not to go in, George W. Bush knew not to go in. He thought about it a lot, 2007, 2008, but realized it would be a complete disaster, according to his own national intelligence and military simulations, over the closure of the Straits of Hormuz, by the way. Barack Obama knew not to go in. Trump, in his first term, not only knew not to go in, he bragged about it. One of the indictments against him was because he disclosed the plans that he rejected to go into Iran in his first term. Even dimwit Dementia Joe Biden knew not to go in. Trump made the catastrophic decision to go in, even though Vice President Vance said do not, even though Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard said do not, even though Deputy Director of National Intelligence Joe Kent said do not, even though Undersecretary of Defense Elbridge Colby said do not, even our own Pentagon said we cannot achieve the objectives you're setting out, and it is unlikely we'll be able to secure either the Gulf region or the Straits of Hormuz with if Iran chooses to attack. The Trump just ignored it. He didn't want to hear it. And now he's convinced himself he never heard it. This is a sign of dangerous recklessness, of wishful thinking becoming lunacy. Notice how Trump is obsessed with using the words deranged and lunatics and crazy all the time of late, and to describe Iran or to describe others. He's describing himself. That's the reality of it. It's confession through projection. He said, Iran's begging for a ceasefire, but I'm not willing to agree to their terms. Wrong. It's him begging for a ceasefire, thinking Iran would take the bait again after they took the bait before. And they have said before the war even started, we will not do that again. If you attack us, we're going to go full throttle. It will be seen as an existential war for Iran. They're not stopping. Trump's out there saying, all these evidence of the Iranian attacks that continue on a daily basis in the Straits of Hormuz, to all our U.S. bases in the Gulf and in Iraq and in the Middle East and on Israel. He says, don't worry, that's not even happening. Those are all AI fakes. Well, Bibi Netanyahu's weird recent video appearances, I have a lot of evidence of AI fakes, but these attacks are not AI fakes. I mean, this is the degree of delusional world that Trump has chosen to occupy himself in. And I see, people like Matthew Boyle at Breitbart saying, hey, let's cheerlead and seal clap the craziness. And let's not talk at all about how crazy it is. No, no, no. Whatever you do, just sit there and seal clap. That's a good way to have the whole country go off the cliff with President Trump. The best way you can help President Trump is by being honest about what is happening, that he is losing his mind and he's listening to the wrong sources and wrong people because he's choosing to. He's shutting out the warnings. And those warnings come with escalatory risk, risk of nuclear war because it's under contemplation, risk of a military draft in the United States, risk of boots on the ground in an utterly futile effort against Iran. So when we get back, we'll talk about the double agent for Iran that misled the president to thinking he had a Delcy Rodriguez, and how that person is literally no longer alive to do so.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, it's a historic time for America and the world. The facts are all coming out. This is truly the age of revelation. Joe Kent, the head of the Office of National Counterterrorism, number two under Tulsi Gabbard, who oversees all 17 intelligence agencies, went public and resigned and said Israel's basically staged a coup over the Trump White House on foreign policy. My wife died for them. They got her killed. And now they're trying to domestically take over as well with all the censorship and controls. And Mark Levin now, we're told, is a spirit animal of the Republican Party. We must follow everything he says or we are excommunicata.
I mean, this is just incredibly insane, going against everything Trump said. Robert Barnes giving excellent analysis. I wanted to bring something up and get his incredible historical perspective on this. Walter Cronkite came out and said that basically the war was lost years before they had to admit it. Then Daniel Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers, a high-level analyst at the Pentagon and CIA, went public that they knew they'd lost, but it was just a way to make money and war game everything and have domestic control. Then, of course, Dr. David Kelly, on the eve of the 2003 Iraq war, was their head expert. He said it was all a giant fraud, that Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction, so they murdered him. That goes back to Tony Blair. Now, in the stature of all these people, Cronkite media-wise is bigger than Joe Kent, but Joe Kent is much more prestigious and high-level than Daniel Ellsberg or even Dr. David Kelly. And so to have him do this, be a gold star husband to his wife that died in 11 combat tours, highly decorated, extremely respected, and to have him come out like this and say Trump must change course, this war is a disaster, they war-gamed it all. We know they gave him a report, a special study, a week before, 17 days ago when he started this war, so about 24 days ago, and Trump completely ignored it. Israel went ahead and launched the attack to get us in. This is absolutely outrageous. We have the head of the ADL play the clip yesterday saying, do you do what we do with pagers and attacks and how we handle Hamas with domestic groups that get involved in our politics? So this is a huge, huge, huge deal, ladies and gentlemen. This is so historically dangerous. This is the very sovereignty of our country. Now, in the past, Communist China was the biggest infiltrator and was the number one threat, still is. But Israel was, you know, heavily number two, right there with the EU and the UK involved in our business. But now Israel, seeing the Democrats sink, really is trying to fill the power vacuum right now. And so we have to just call it off what it is. There has been a partial coup over the United States of America. We have to just get that information out and talk about it. So here's a clip of Walter Cronkite historically kicking all this off, and Joe Kent is in line with all of that, and Daniel Ellsberg and Dr. David Kelly. He's in a lot of, I think, physical danger. The globalists are openly threatening everybody. So this is such a dangerous moment. While we have the Democrats waiting in the wings to bring in the Great Reset and the New World Order. Trump has been dismantling globalism, ignoring the international order. But now he's launched a new order, and Israel brags in their papers that this all hurts U.S. interests, makes them strong, and that when they're done with us, that we crash because this war will run up the national debt because of the inflation, Fed or Hormuz, that they will be the new center of the world and the new power structure. This is megalomania, 110%. This is insanely dangerous, and that is where we are right now. So here is Walter Cronkite almost 60 years ago, and I'll come back and have a few words for Robert Barnes, and I want him to give his historical analysis of how huge this Joe Kent situation is. I don't think most people realize how big this is. This is going to cause a chain reaction, other patriots to speak out. It's going to be whistleblowers like this that is going to change the course. We're going to win. We have the initiative. We should all be massively white-pilled right now and proud of America and the patriots, because the days of the deep state getting away what it wants are over. Trump thought he was going to come in and take over the deep state. He got another thing coming. This is the madness of King George. Will he get back on track, or will he fail? Let's go to Walter Cronkite and the great Robert Barnes.
To say that we are closer to victory today is to believe, in the face of the evidence, the optimists who have been wrong in the past. To suggest we are on the edge of defeat is to yield to unreasonable pessimism. To say that we are mired in stalemate seems the only realistic, if unsatisfactory, conclusion. On the off chance that military and political analysts are right, in the next few months we must test the enemy's intentions in case this is indeed his last big gasp before negotiations. But it is increasingly clear to this report that the only rational way out then will be to negotiate, not as victors, but as an honorable people who lived up to their pledge to defend democracy and did the best they could. This is Walter Cronkite. Good night.
And then he came back 6 months later and said the war is lost. You can find that clip put in Post. We post this on X and Rumble. But the issue here is we got the documents that they knew years before that they were never going to win. It was just a way to make money and have control, which is what the WikiLeaks, what Julian Assange said, that they want forever wars. And Israel wants to get rid of the Muslims, but something worse than, like they founded Hamas, or they put the head of Al-Qaeda in charge of Syria a year and a half ago. So that's the reality. I'm going to get off here and let you host, Barnes, knocking it out of the park. Really admire your legal prowess, but also your historical prowess is second to none. But I wanted to just get your view, if you agree with me on how historic this is, then riff off what I just said. I'm going to disconnect and continue to watch or listen as I drive. God bless you, Robert Barnes. Be sure and follow us on X at Rolf Jones. Be sure and follow Robert on his X account as well. Robert Barnes, take over. Talk about the historic nature and what you think we should do, rallying behind Joe Kent, as he's desperately saying it's time for Trump to still change course. There's still time. And if he doesn't, that report reportedly told him not just that the Middles wouldn't fall, but would cause a chain reaction, turning the world against us and driving up energy prices that would derail Trump's economic plan by spiking inflation. Robert Barnes.
Yeah, I think Joe, somebody like Joe Kent would not resign unless escalatory risk, or as Professor Pape calls it, the escalatory trap, was becoming a high risk. It appears that the fact that he is resigning in the way that he is proves two things. One, that there has, as Alex details, a Israeli coup of American foreign policy in the American presidency. It has been an effort afoot now for more than a year, dating back to the beginning of the administration, and was what led Tucker Carlson to be such a high-profile critic, because he saw it happening in live time. The second aspect is it's the most, and what that means, by the way, is that there's risk of the draft. There's risk of boots on the ground. There's risk of using nuclear weapons. That's the kind of thing that would motivate Kent to step down now, rather than try to stay as an advocate within the administration, realizing that this is what Trump is considering, and he's not listening to any critics or anybody with a dissident information, as he implicitly admitted today from the Oval Office. Doesn't want anybody to disagree with him in the administration. That is a very perilous path to be on. The second thing is, this is the most significant and consequential resignation of a public official since the lion himself, William Jennings Bryan, resigned as Secretary of State when Woodrow Wilson brought us into World War I, despite the fact that Wilson ran in 1916 on how he kept us out of war. And then he already had a plan afoot. He betrayed the American voters, much as President Trump is doing right now with this Mideastern regime change war that he campaigned on for against for the better part of a decade. I see these people keep saying that, oh, he always said Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. But that isn't the reason this war started. This reason started in order to have regime change on behalf of Israel. And Israel, by the way, doesn't want a peaceful, democratic Iran. They don't want any rivals in the region, period. That is why they took out Larijani today, who was known as a pragmatic leader who could actually effectuate a potential deal with the United States to have a more peaceful Iranian regime in its relations with the U.S. Well, he was murdered. This is what Israel does. As soon as they think peace might happen, they go and do murder in Iran. They did it before. They started the attack last summer. And so this was a continuation. And as long as a foreign nation is hijacking our foreign policy, then we are at great risk of escalatory conflict that could be extremely damaging to the world, not to mention Trump's legacy, not to mention the MAGA coalition, not to mention this is the best way to give Democrats complete power by 2028. It is also geopolitically dangerous because it may lead to a draft being talked about in the White House in the U.S. or nuclear war. That is a nightmare, dystopian scenario for anybody with any degree of sanity. But there is nobody in Israel right now that has any degree of sanity in the power structure that exists there. They're busy covering up the Israeli soldiers engaging in systematic rape and sodomy of Palestinian detainees who were caught on tape. Who an Israeli whistleblower and Israeli doctor were the ones that reported them. And now all charges against them are being dismissed in the middle of this. And they're celebrating that in Israel. So now how did we get into this at all? There was the deal with the devil Trump cut with the big Israel First donors in the fall of 2024. That is a substantial part of this. There's the way in which the Epstein files were doctored by the deep state to deceive Trump into hiding those documents in such a way that it something that could exonerate him and incriminate his enemies. He managed to incriminate himself and exonerate his enemies. That was an extraordinary reverse skill set of Jeffrey Epstein's files, and Epstein was a long-standing, well-known the asset of Mossad. The number one family implicated in throughout the Epstein files is the Rothschild family. They're currently busy trying to purge all evidence of them from the files, deleting all kinds of files while this war is going on, including files that had already been publicly released in some cases, to try to claim that later on that maybe they're AI or fake because they're no longer on the Justice Department website. The Rothschilds family, famous for getting fabulously rich off doing what? Whispering people into war. They're usually on both sides of the war. That's the history of the Rothschild banking family, who established global investment banking as a template and model of operation all the way back in the late 18th century. So the other way we got into this goes into the person who was the believed by Trump to be his Delcy Rodriguez. This was the commander of the CUDS division, basically the covert operations group that was previously run by Soleimani. The Soleimani's assassination in Trump's first term was facilitated by inside information, but nobody ever knew who. The person that was got to replace Soleimani, the heads, I think his name is Connie, the head of the CUDS, became the head of the CUDS division, the covert operation for Iran, that what he did is he then ended up, as soon as he was put in charge, all of a sudden, all kinds of successful CIA and Mossad assassinations start to occur, including within Iran of Hamas leaders, including in Iraq of various Syria militia leaders, including in Syria of key people holding up the Assad regime, including in Lebanon of a whole bunch of people, their Hezbollah, and not once but twice in Iran itself. First, the nuclear scientist in the summer, and then the Ayatollah himself, February 28th. It appears that this individual was the person that Trump thought he could get to be in charge of the regime. It appears to have been his motivation all along, because there was otherwise no reason to believe he was this double agent. He was in a perfect position, because as head of covert operations, he knew the locations and identity of pretty much everybody that was an Iranian proxy or within the Iranian regime itself. So you couldn't have anybody. It's like Aldrich Ames. Who best to be a spy? The spy that's in the counterintelligence division that's supposed to be monitoring Russia's spies, being a Russian spy himself. But he didn't appear to have monetary motivations, familial motivations, blackmail motivations. None of that would seem to fit. What is most likely is that he thought it was a great opportunity to seize power himself, and that if he could just work with the U.S. and Israel to take everybody else out, he could grab power, and he implicitly promised that if he did, there would be different relations with Israel and the U.S. The problem is the Russians and the Chinese, since the attacks in the summer, have been helping Iranian counterintelligence, particularly in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And what that did is they were able to tip him off that this is the guy. He kept magically being near locations that he was supposed to be in and then leaving 10 to 15 minutes before a bomb blew up. That was true with Hezbollah. That was true with the Hamas individual in Tehran. That was true with several of the nuclear scientists. Indeed, he was falsely reported to have been dead in the attacks in the summer, because he was supposed to be somewhere that he magically got out of about 5 minutes before the bombs hit. So what he was supposed to be the one, but Russia Chinese intelligence were already monitoring him, along with counterintelligence at the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And his big mistake was the only reason he was staying in power is because the Ayatollah who was very a naive, idealistic guy, contrary to the conventional wisdom in the West. This is a guy who, you know, spent half his time writing poems. So, you know, he's not exactly your stereotype or caricature that people would imagine. He had nowhere near the political ruthlessness of his predecessor. He was his protector. So once he was out, the counterintelligence division in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard could use their allies with the China and Russia to document in detail. He also miraculously left the building about 15 minutes before it got hit again. In this case, taking out the Ayatollah and a bunch of others. So he got caught and apparently had one of those suicide pills on him and managed to kill himself before he could be interrogated. So the person we were expecting, this is who Trump is referring to, though he won't refer to him specifically by name because that would out him as a double agent all along, when he says, well, the people we thought would replace the regime are dead. As soon as that happened, President Trump had to realize, okay, this isn't going to work, and needed to start de-escalating, not escalating. Now, what does that look like since Iran, like Russia and Ukraine, holds a veto, a de facto veto, over any effective peace proposal? What Israel has enough, contrary to what you're hearing, Iran has enough ballistic missiles and drones, which they can continue to produce in mass underground, to continue this conflict for years and years and years and years. There's no reason to believe that we are going to be able to completely eliminate their capacity to launch ballistic missiles into the Gulf, along the Straits of Hormuz, or into Israel. This is just, that's not an achievable objective. The second aspect is their drones. We're seeing $50,000 drones take out $500 million radars. So there's no real meaningful ability. They're easy to produce. They're inexpensive to produce. They're hard to track and trace where they're being produced, and they're easy to launch. Iran is a massive, massive country surrounded by mountains. It is a very difficult terrain to be. It makes Afghanistan look like kids play. It makes Vietnam look like child's hour in terms of a place you could try to take over with ground forces or successfully take out all their ballistic missiles or take out all their drones. So contrary to what the president is telling people, they have plenty of ballistic missiles. They have plenty of drones. They will continue to launch them until they get what they want. The third aspect is the regime is highly unlikely to collapse. You've seen a bunch of fake polls. These are fake polls from CIA cutouts through the National Endowment for Democracy and USAID. One of them's called Gammon. They're run out of the Netherlands and Canada. They're totally fake polls about Iran. And one of the ways you know they're fake polls is they claim only a small percentage of Iranians are Shia. Over 90% of Iranians are Shia. And if you want to know the true Iranian public opinion, there's a professor, the Anwar Sadat professor at the University of Maryland, who has done extensive surveys of all the Middle East. And what he found was that while Iranians would like their economic conditions to improve and don't want a strict imposition of their morality police, they are otherwise are not seeking regime change. Indeed, only about 12% of the country said they would prefer a functional democracy to the existing religious Islamic Republic. This would not surprise you if you understood the history of Shia. This would not surprise you if you had tracked Shia opinions of Iran outside of Iran. So if you looked at the opinions held in Iraq by Shia, held in Pakistan by Shia, held in Bahrain by Shia, held in Syria by Shia, held in Lebanon by Shia, they have had a favorable opinion of the Iranian regime since its inception, and that has never changed. The people that don't like Iran are the Sunni Muslims, the Israelis, and other groups. But that tells you when 90% of Iran is Shia, and the Shia around the world outside of Iran have a favorable opinion of it, you knew there was no mass domestic political uprising likely to occur. The economic protests in January that were precipitated by our economic sabotage of the Iranian currency, as Soros' Scotty Bessent has publicly bragged about under oath before Congress, in case anybody had any doubts about it, were then hijacked by groups likely supported by that same double agent. That same double agent was well known for his ties to Iranian operatives and other operations in Afghanistan and Pakistan, as well as to the MEK. He was supposed to be running counterintelligence against them. It appears he imported them in, helped fund them, helped arm them, helped bring in the Starlink terminals to stage that coup in January. The problem was there wasn't mass public support for those protests. So when they turned violent, it was the protesters who turned violent. They started lighting mosques on fire. They started lighting ambulances on fire. They started attacking clerics. They started attacking hospital workers. They started attacking local police. That's when the public turned in mass against them. That's when the crackdown occurred. There were no 30,000 innocent protesters killed. That's complete garbage. They're going to keep making up numbers from now into eternity on it. It just doesn't honestly represent and reflect what's happening on the ground. So there wasn't this mass desire to have mass regime change amongst the public in mass in Iran to begin with. And then you go to the second reason why the Iranians do not want regime change. They've seen what Iraq looks like. They've seen what Syria looks like. They've seen what Libya looks like. They've seen what Lebanon looks like. They've seen what Gaza looks like. They don't want that nightmare to visit their country. So that's the second practical geopolitical realist reason. And as soon as we started bombing schools and bombing historical sites and bombing hospitals and bombing local police stations and bombing public parks, all of which we have done in this war because we're taking our list from either AI or Israel, and they want chaos. They want no regional rival that can compete with them. So they want Iran to look like Syria, to look like Iraq, to look like Libya, to look like Lebanon. The public massively turned against the U.S. in Iran, including longstanding deep critics of Iran. The other two ways you knew Iran was not likely to have a domestic insurrection and bring about a pro-U.S., pro-Israel regime in Iran is the other two factors are Persian pride and Iranian nationalism. To understand the power and potency of Persian pride, understand that they were invaded by the Muslims, by the Arab Muslims, in the 7th century. Before that, they were invaded by Alexander the Great out of Greece. In the 4th century, they were invaded by the Mongols. They were in all three cases, in the cases of the Arab Muslims, in the case of the Greeks, in the case of the Mongols, they didn't conquer Persia. Persia ended up conquering them, at least culturally. They ended up being converted to the Persian cause, to the Persian identity. This is the power of Persian pride and the history of that culture that dates back to Cyrus the Great, who Alexander the Great went and visited his tomb when he first took over Persia. So when you know that there is going to be no domestic desire for regime change within either the Iranian public political structure or within the broad populace, then you know that is an unachievable objective. So Trump has to reassess. What is Iran's veto going to be? Well, President Putin already offered President Trump an off-ramp. And what does that off-ramp entail? Allow the enriched nuclear material to be relocated to Russia. The number one. Number two, the U.S. take out its bases out of the Mideast. We should have been out of there a long time ago anyway. It was a mistake to ever be there. And three, some form of economic and sanctions relief. And last but not least, some form of security guarantee that's either provided by Russia or China or somebody else because Iran no longer trusts the United States. What the president should do is stop the attacks now, pull our ships out. At the Gerald Ford, the sailors are so unhappy, they sabotage, according to published reports, the ship again because they want to go back home. They don't want to be fighting in this conflict. There's a record number of conscientious objections within the military as we speak to this conflict. You've got lunatic generals running around preaching apocalyptic religion that they want to bring in the end of the world in this conflict. That does not inspire your soldiers to go in for it. So president needs to take the Putin off-ramp that has again been off and use that rather than to escalate into potential drafts, into potential boots on the ground, into potential nuclear war. Do it now, Mr. President. He's had his longstanding affair with his donor mistress, the Israel First Lobby. It's time to abandon her. She's sabotaging you, sabotaging your legacy, sabotaging America, sabotaging the world, and return to your MAGA wife, who has always been the true loyalist, the OG MAGA, not the current fake MAGA. And then the President Trump can indeed make America great again, because right now all he's doing is making Israel great again.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS,
methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexshowstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexshowstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back. Hour three of the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams here, coming to you from our studios near Austin, Texas. And I've got quite a lineup for you here, although Robert Barnes just did an outstanding job with his analysis, and I have to agree with his conclusion. It is clearly time for Trump to divorce the Israel First lobby and put America first, because we're running out of time. This war is becoming a disastrous Vietnam 2.0 in the Middle East. And frankly, the U.S. is losing the credibility of its force projection of its Navy, as carriers had to essentially flee. That's what's happening now. And as much as Trump bragged that the war was already won numerous times, Strait of Hormuz is still not open. And that's a problem for the entire world, but especially Western countries. And that's what I'm going to get into today. So here in this segment, just a little table of contents of what I'm about to cover. I'll be covering the economic consequences of a prolonged shutdown of these critical resources, including not just natural gas, obviously, and oil, but also sulfur and helium. And then downstream effects such as sulfuric acid shortages, the aluminum industry, and much more, fertilizer and food crops, and what that means for food yields over the next couple of growing seasons. Because you see, what's been set into motion right now can't be fixed. It can't be turned around, even if there's peace tomorrow. Many of these systems are shut down in a way that will require weeks or months to bring back online. And that's true with natural gas in Qatar, for example. Qatar Energy already declared force majeure, and they've shut down their energy production. And because of that, it will take at least 1 month for them to bring that back online. And as you're going to hear in my analysis today, that helium production will take months to come back online. And you say, well, oh, so what about helium? What's the deal with helium? Well, you know, in addition to being very useful for talking Ben Shapiro, it also is used in microchips manufacturing and in laboratory analysis. Without helium, Taiwan Semiconductor can't make the microchips that power so much of our Western technology. And helium has been cut off. We're about to go into an extreme global helium shortage. So we're going to talk about that. Sulfuric acid is used in the production of fertilizers and phosphate fertilizers, and urea also is another critical commodity that's in very short supply right now because a significant portion of it comes out of the Persian Gulf. And think about it. Right now, the Strait of Hormuz remains essentially closed. It is de facto closed. And I don't know why it's so difficult to get this through the thick skulls of some people who say, well, no, it's open. It's not blocked. Well, okay, it's not physically blocked. But if you try to go through without permission, as a tanker just found out last night, you get bombed and set on fire. You get hit by drones. And, you know, Trump brags about how, oh, we've destroyed the Iranian Navy. We've destroyed their Air Force. Okay, well, then why isn't the Strait of Hormuz open? Because Iran doesn't need a Navy in order to harass ships going through the region. And I've said this before, that the Strait of Hormuz is not open until Iran decides it's open. And there's nothing that you can do to force it open. And remember, just recently, Trump tried to get all these other countries, you know, European countries and Australia and Japan, hey, send your ships, send your naval vessels, help us reopen the Strait of Hormuz. It's basically Trump begging for a military bailout from the very countries that he mocked as having weak militaries and countries that he punished with punitive tariffs also. And now all those countries have said, no, no, thank you. We're not going to get involved in your war. We're not sending ships. And besides, if it were so easy to open up the Strait of Hormuz, why hasn't the U.S. military done it? And the answer is because it's not that easy. It's basically impossible without Iran's consent. And that's why Iran has set out its terms, terms like reparations and recognizing Iran's intrinsic right to develop nuclear energy technology and to enrich nuclear fuel, for example. And until those rights are recognized, the strait will not be open. So when we come back here for the rest of this hour, I'm going to walk you through the dire consequences of what this means for America and the rest of the Western world if that strait stays closed for a few more weeks or months. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, welcome back. Mike Adams here with the third hour of The Alex Jones Show today. And as I promised, we're going to be walking through the dire consequences of the continued closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And also during the break, Matt Bracken had sent over this tweet from an observer, Radigan Carter, who talks about how there's a specific turn in the Strait of Hormuz. And if you could bring up the strait map there again, there's a turn there that exposes ships to 270 degrees of fire control in layered systems from the surrounding high ground. Basically, it's a suicide run if you try to run through that strait without permission. And thus, there is no one in the world, there's no technology in the world. There you go, that map shows, you see where you have to make that sharp turn, and those high islands on both sides of you are flanking both sides of your ships. Now think about this. Even if the U.S. Navy will escort, let's say, tankers through that strait, all that's doing is exposing the tanker and the U.S. naval ships to unlimited fire. Unlimited fire. They will both be destroyed. In fact, I think it was one of the high-level Iranian officials who said that they will allow any tanker safe passage if they can convince a U.S. naval vessel to escort it. I mean, that's a sense of humor because, of course, the U.S. naval vessel would be destroyed and sunk right there in the middle of the strait. And as much as Trump keeps announcing total victory and total decimation of Iranians' military forces, none of that matters if you can't reopen the strait, does it? And again, Iran doesn't need a navy to open the strait. So, as I said, the strait is not open until Iran says it's open, and also until the insurers that insure these vessels will allow them to sail. And you can bet that all these insurers, including Lloyd's of London, whoever else does all the insurance policies for these vessels, not only have they raised their rates for ships that are allowed to move around, but they've said no insurance for you if you're trying to traverse the Strait of Hormuz. So without insurance, they're not sailing. And that's why there are over 3,000 ships stuck in the Persian Gulf right now. with no exit. Only they can exit with permission from Iran. That's why, for example, a Chinese-bound oil tanker was allowed to transit. That's why Iranian flagships are allowed to transit. But you've got these morons on social media that are saying, oh, ships went through. It must be open again. No, it's open if you have the permission of Iran. If you don't have permission, you don't get to transit the Strait of Hormuz. And see, so it's a selective. It's not just mining the waters with old, dumb mines that blow up every ship. That hasn't happened. And that was never an accurate claim. This is about certain ships are allowed to pass and other ships are not. And right now, the only ships allowed to pass are ships that are bound for friendly countries, that is friendly to Iran. Could be Russia, could be China, could be Pakistan, maybe even North Korea, for example. And that's it. And that's equating to a couple of ships a day right now, down from a typical volume of something like 80 or 90 ships per day is what used to transit the strait before this war began. So if you hear anybody saying, well, there's ships still going through, yeah, that's because they have permission. All right. Here's the other thing. Right now, let's talk about LNG tankers, liquid natural gas. And if you could show a picture of some of those LNG tankers, they're the ships that have the giant domes on them because that's where you have the pressurized, liquefied natural gas that, of course, drives much of the world's economy and much of the world's industry. And those ships are like, you know, floating bombs, actually, if they were to be attacked. I mean, look at that. That is compressed, liquefied natural gas. The amount of energy that is stored in those domes is tremendous. You do not want that released all at once, right? And you do not want those under fire from any kind of drones or missiles or anything like that. You wouldn't dare get those close to a war zone. Well, out of all of those tankers that exist on planet Earth, half of them are currently stuck in the Persian Gulf. Half of them. Which means that even if you had other sources of natural gas, and for example, the United States is a producer of natural gas, there are other gas fields around the world, although the Middle East fields are by far the most prolific out of Qatar in particular. But even if you had other sources, you don't have the ships in existence to meet world demand for natural gas right now. The ships just don't exist. And how long would it take to build those ships? Well, years, obviously. So forget it. The only way that our world gets back on track in terms of industry, in terms of output, and also, like we're going to talk about, microchips and automobiles and anything that our friendly allies make in Japan or Taiwan or in Western Europe or even Australia for that matter, the only way that this gets back online is if the strait is opened. And you can't open it without Iran's consent, period. I don't care if you land 5,000 Marines on those islands. Doesn't matter. You know why? Even if you take the islands, Iran can still harass ships from inland. Iran can launch drones from northeastern Iran because the drones have a 2,000-kilometer range, by the way. So it doesn't matter if you take the islands. The only thing that has to happen for the insurers to shut down the ships is for Iran to publicly claim we will attempt to damage ships that pass through the strait without our permission. They don't even have to actually do it. All they have to do is say they're going to do it. And that's it. The strait is closed. All right. So all of the threats from Trump, all of the bluster, all of the claims of total victory and total decimation, it doesn't mean a damn thing to Iran. Iran is just laughing at the moment and saying, yeah, you know what? You lost. You lost because we control the Strait of Hormuz, which means we, Iran, we control the Western world's economies. We control the price of energy. And the price of energy determines the success or failure of your economy. So until Trump realizes that, the West is going to keep losing big time, no matter what happens militarily. Doesn't matter how many buildings you blow up in Tehran, right? You still can't allow ships to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. So what Trump should do, kind of like what Robert Barnes said in the last segment, in my opinion, is he should divorce the mistress of Netanyahu, you know, alive or dead, whatever his state happens to be. Trump should divorce from the Israeli lobby and the Zionist control over his administration. Trump should make peace with Iran and reach a negotiated deal that allows Western industries and economies to come back from the brink of total destruction, which is where they're headed right now. The problem with that is America burned its credibility when it comes to negotiations, because for the past two times that the U.S. has, quote, negotiated with Iran, last summer, the U.S. then murdered the negotiators. And in this last round of negotiations with Witkoff and Jared Kushner, I believe, that in those negotiations, the U.S. started bombing again, even though the negotiations had progress. And I believe Oman was helping with those negotiations, and they were at the verge of having an agreement, and Iran had already made some concessions, but Trump went ahead and ordered the attack anyway. Why? Because Netanyahu told him to do so. So the only way to save America, I mean, forget about, just, I mean, we have to go beyond the concept of just making America great again. We need to save America now. Save America from this disastrous war. The only way to save America is to divorce Israel and put America first instead of Israel's interests. That's what has to happen for Trump to have any kind of chance of saving his presidency, saving the GOP in the upcoming elections, and saving America from the economic destruction that I'm about to describe for you. And of course, I've unleashed a bunch of AI research agents to pull together a report that I'm going to be reading from here. I won't be showing you the report, but I just want to let you know I didn't manually do all this research myself, but I pulled it up. And let's just start walking through some of this, because here's what we're going to cover. We're going to cover the not only the oil export situation, liquefied natural gas, and why that's so critical, but global helium supply, the sulfur supply, because not a lot of people are thinking about the sulfur, fertilizer, nitrogen fertilizers, urea, ammonia, and phosphate inputs that are used for agriculture around the world. And then I've got some food supply and crop yield projections for you, as well as petrochemicals and plastics, copper and aluminum, and a list of different organizations around the world that have already declared force majeure. And it's a growing list. And when they declare force majeure, it means they default on the contracts. So whatever contracts they had about a commitment to deliver a certain amount of natural gas, let's say, natural gas to Taiwan, for Taiwan to run its industrial economy, because Taiwan is a very prolific manufacturer. Well, they're down to less than 2 weeks, I believe, now of natural gas supplies. That island nation is in dire trouble right now if the gas doesn't flow again. And by the way, China has banned all exports now of refined fuels. So China will not export diesel or kerosene or jet fuel or gasoline to anybody, including Australia. And Australia's airlines normally rely on China's exports of jet fuel. So even in Australia, the airlines are going to have to start shutting down, or they're going to have to find some other source of fuel, which is highly unlikely unless they start offering to pay double, triple, or quadruple the price. Similarly, India just recently begged China for urea supplies so that India could continue to operate its fertilizer production facilities, so that India perhaps wouldn't suffer through famine and starvation, because India has obviously, what, almost 1.4 billion people, something in that range. And many of them, not all of them, but many of them live near the poverty line, which means they don't have a lot of extra income to throw down if food prices doubled. Well, guess what? China said to India, sorry, we can't help you. And then China banned all exports of fertilizers and urea to everyone. Why? Because China realizes what's happening. China's ahead of Trump on this by far. China's like, hey, we better conserve our fuel, our diesel, you know, our oil, our fertilizer, urea, you name it. We better conserve it, because there's about to be a global freaking famine here, a global famine that is an obvious effect of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And I got to give credit to Michael Yan, who I will have on this show on Thursday, by the way. So be sure to rejoin me here on the Alex Jones Show, third hour, coming up 2 days from now on Thursday. I'm going to have Michael Yan as a guest. And I've interviewed Michael Yan dozens of times over the last several years. I've had him on this show as well. And Michael Yan has predicted accurately and repeatedly that in a war with Iran, the Strait of Hormuz would be closed. And that when that happened, there would be catastrophic effects, including engineered global famine. He said it numerous times. He held up books about famine. numerous times, Trump didn't listen. Trump should have listened to Michael Young. If he had, he wouldn't have started this war, and we wouldn't be facing the potential starvation affecting billions of people potentially around the world if this thing continues for months. We could be seeing food scarcity at a level that you've never witnessed, really impacting aggressively the countries that have marginal families that are just barely scraping by, just barely have enough to eat. When you raise their food prices 50% or 100%, or you reduce crop yields by 20 or 30%, which is exactly what's about to happen, as I've got in my research report here, I'll share that with you, then you start driving many people, the marginalized people in these countries, into extreme poverty and food scarcity. Food insecurity then breeds civil unrest. And that's when you start to get, well, revolts, upheavals, and revolutions. And by the way, right here in America, 60% of American households are just living paycheck to paycheck. They don't have an extra stash of money to cover a doubling of food costs. And they don't have stored food for the most part. I mean, you watching this, yeah, you have some amount of stored food. But the average American does not. And that means that when their food prices start to really skyrocket, which will happen in the fall, you know, here we are in the planting season right now. So there, obviously there's a buffer delay of crop yields to work its way through the system. Right now, you're eating the food that was grown mostly last year, okay? That is in the Northern Hemisphere. But in the fall of this year, you'll be eating the food that was grown now. And that food is not going to have the same yields that it did last year. So that means that American families are going to be lining up at food banks like never before. They're going to be suffering higher food prices, reduced food supply, and there we go, 45 million homes at risk if Iran war continues, 45 million more at risk, excuse me. I would say that's a very small number compared to what my research shows. We're looking at potentially, if this goes on long enough, billions of human beings across numerous countries, including India, that will face food scarcity. And the situation is going to become dire. Let me get back to the report here. All right. So let's talk about the basics here. 20 million barrels of oil a day is now blocked by the Strait of Hormuz. That's a 1970s scale crisis. You know, Jimmy Carter, 1979, the oil crisis then. I remember that. People were lined up at gas stations all across America trying to get fuel. There was rationing. And it was a crisis, but it was nothing compared to what's about to happen. 20 million barrels of oil a day is significant. It's about 20% of the global supply of oil. And the thing is, oil prices, you know, if you need oil, you're going to pay almost anything for it. If you need energy, you're going to pay almost anything. So this is a unique situation where you have to have the oil to keep the lights on, as Cuba is finding out right now. No oil, no power. No power grid, no country. So Russia is benefiting from this by being able to sell more energy. And China is doing relatively okay because they had far more stockpiles of oil than did the United States. And also, China can get ships through the Strait of Hormuz. So you see, China is going to be fine during this crisis. America's allies are not. America's allies are in deep trouble. All right, let's go to liquefied natural gas. Oh, and by the way, a long-term closure of the strait will just decimate any kind of extra supply of oil, strategic reserves, anything like that. That'll be decimated in less than 2 weeks. So that's not going to save anything here. And by the way, America's strategic petroleum reserve wasn't refilled before the war, which seems like an incredibly short-sighted decision. All right, liquefied natural gas. So right now, about 20 to 25% of the world supply of LNG sails through the strait. And again, Qatar Energy already declared force majeure, so they are offline. 112 billion cubic meters of this gas annually is what comes out of just Qatar. There are no alternative pipelines for those exports. They do not exist. I've seen people, you know, draw a line across the peninsula. Oh, we could just, you know, let's just have trucks just take it this way. Let's just build another canal right here. Okay, great. Yeah. You know how long it takes to build a canal? Look up your history. How long did it take to build the Panama Canal? Huh? You know, this is not something you can do overnight. And by the way, good luck building a canal while you're getting bombed by Iran. You know, good luck transporting on trucks across the land while getting bombed by Iran. So that's not going to work. I don't know why people aren't even thinking about this. So look, 72% of the energy of Bangladesh comes from the Persian Gulf. 53% of India's energy comes from the Persian Gulf. That's why they're in a crisis. Wow. Okay. Japan only has 4.4 million tons in reserve. South Korea only has 2 to 4 weeks in reserve. Taiwan, as I said, is about a 2 week supply. If the liquid natural gas doesn't get restarted, U.S. allies in the Pacific, you know, East Asia, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, even Vietnam, for example, major manufacturers and exporters of all kinds of goods, from semiconductors to home appliances to scientific instruments, telecommunications, computing, you name it, they're all going to be offline because they have no energy. And Iran can just sit there and say, well, let us know when you're ready to make a deal. And I believe that Trump's ego is going to cause him to never be willing to make a deal, because Trump wants to win. He wants to be seen as the winner, even if the whole world loses in the process. And that's exactly what's happening. All right. So the natural gas situation is dire. And when you process natural gas, one of the byproducts that you get, by the way, is helium. Helium, second lightest element, right? Look at the table of elements. Helium, 30% of the global commercial production comes out of just Qatar. 30%. And it has to be hauled in special cryogenic containers. There is no alternative pipeline for helium. It doesn't exist. Helium cannot be substituted in semiconductor fabrication. It cannot be substituted in MRI machines, their cooling magnets, in arc welding, in rocket propellant pressurization. And also, as you know, I own and run a mass spec food science lab, and most of my lab instruments require helium. Helium's used in the collision cell of the mass spec because of its unique physical properties. And so without helium, we can't test food. We can't test water. Without helium, nobody can make microchips. Have you looked into UV lithography equipment and why helium is used in that? Why it's critical? Why it can't be replaced? So right now, you know, you talk about the importance of Taiwan Semiconductor, and you would lose most of their output if helium remains offline for much longer. And it is offline. It's, my goodness, spot prices of helium have already surged almost 100%. And that's going to continue if the strait stays closed. Helium will undergo a cascading effect of force majeure cancellations. And so Samsung, which of course has promised all these microchip fabrication facilities in the United States, Samsung would be strongly impacted by this. They would have to start shutting down microchip facilities everywhere around the world, not just in the U.S., but elsewhere as well. Taiwan Semiconductor, like I said, and other companies. So, you know, good luck with your microchip supply. Good luck with, I don't know, anything, frankly, that is made from microchips. Your GPU, you know, your AI GPU. Forget it. You're cooked. Okay. And then we get to sulfur. Sulfur is one of the most consequential elements that is blocked by this closure of the Strait of Hormuz because of Trump's war, a war of choice, a war of aggression that he did not have to start. But because of this, sulfur is used in creating fertilizers as well as sulfuric acid. Sulfuric acid is probably the single most important industrial chemical in the world. Did you know, for example, you can't make car tires without the process of vulcanization, right? What does that use? It uses sulfur. Oh, so good luck getting car tires and truck tires, and good luck with all your transportation infrastructure if you can't get sulfur. And sulfuric acid is used in phosphate production for farms and crops. And without sulfuric acid, there is a long cascade of industrial processes that absolutely crater and that they shut down modern industry. Your modern civilization cannot survive without the Strait of Hormuz being open. We're going to take a break, and after this break, I'll continue with more analysis. This is the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams here. I'll be right back.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Mike Adams.
All right, welcome back, folks, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams here, filling in for the third hour today, continuing our analysis of the the powerful and devastating repercussions of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And, you know, look, if you need to learn more about the Strait of Hormuz, let me mention a free resource that my team made available here. As you know, I built a book creation platform. It's all free. It's called brightlearn.ai. And we have just released the free downloadable full-length audiobook, completely free. It's called Choke Point, The Strait of Hormuz. So if you just go to books.brightlearn.ai, you can download that book, click on audiobooks. You can download that audiobook completely free. And there are also, go to books.brightlearn.ai. That'll bring up the actual audiobooks there. You can download them all for free, okay? This will tell you everything about the Strait of Hormuz and why it's so critical to understand. But we are going to live through the most difficult lockdowns and shutdowns, far worse than COVID, based on what has happened already. Yeah, click on audiobooks there, and then you're going to see it. Yeah, it's called Choke Point. There's an audiobooks tab. There you go. There it is, right there. So that's where you can download completely free. So I've been using my data center to generate audiobooks, by the way. So that's just one of the ways that we give back to everybody. There's a bunch of books on you know, survival and what have you, which seems incredibly important right now. But continuing my analysis here, we talked about sulfuric acid and why that's critical. But here's what a lot of people don't know. Yes, sulfuric acid is critical for phosphate fertilizers that feeds most of the world. But also it's necessary for battery cathode materials and mining leaching operations. So if you want to mine things like copper and zinc or aluminum or other rare earths, you're going to use sulfuric acid. Why? Because sulfuric acid will strip the ions out of whatever element is in the rocks. It will put that into solution, into the acid. And then you can process that further to take those purified minerals out of the sulfuric acid solution. So without sulfuric acid, we don't have much of mining. And think about what happens if we don't have mining. Aluminum, copper, zinc, nickel, tungsten, right? Cobalt that's necessary for lithium batteries. You name it. The world's battery manufacturing capability begins to suffer dramatically if we don't have sulfuric acid. So it's not just fertilizers. It's also commodities and metals. Now then, we got to get to urea. 49% of global urea seaborne exports are now at risk because of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which, as I said in the last segment, Trump cannot reopen by force nor by words. That has to be done with Iran's consent. So here we go. 1 ton of urea now costs U.S. farmers the equivalent of 126 bushels of corn. Last year, it was only 75 bushels of corn equivalent. So if we don't get urea, which comes from natural gas and ammonia, by the way, if we don't get urea, then we're looking at about a collapse anywhere from 1/3 to 1/2 of the global nitrogenous fertilizer supply, which means that whatever fertilizers that farmers can get right now, well, that's last year's supply chain. And they're lucky if they can get it now. A lot of farmers won't be able to get it. And if you look at crop yields and where this is going, corn, critical level. It's the most nitrogen intensive crop in our world. So Midwest planting is happening now and urea prices are doubling, which means that farmers are going to grow a lot less corn. They're going to shift to crops like soybeans that don't use as much fertilizer. So now you're going to have a corn shortage. Wheat, also vulnerable to input shocks. So you're going to have reduced yields of wheat, anywhere from 20 to 30%, most likely, in 2026 harvests. Rice, Southeast Asia, will be impacted by this. We already mentioned India. And if India doesn't grow a lot of food very cheaply, then a lot of people begin to starve in India and other nations in Southeast Asia. Sugar and soybeans also have some exposure, soybeans not as much. So you're going to end up with a lot more soy and a lot less corn and wheat. Hope you like drinking your soy lattes because that's the only thing that's going to grow with less nitrogen. Okay. So good luck with that. All the soy boys out there will rejoice. All right. In addition to that, we've got ammonia and phosphate inputs. Those are also impacted. And now, petrochemicals, metals, and industrial supply. So polyethylene exports, 85% of the polyethylene exports out of the Middle East flow through the Strait of Hormuz. Polyethylene, what do you make out of that? Bottles, lids, you know, barrels, anything. The PE is possibly the most useful polymer of all. And so if you're purchasing, even, you know, even from Alex's store, if you're purchasing supplements, if you're purchasing superfoods, if you're purchasing anything, you better get it now, because we don't even know if we're going to get the bottles. We don't know if we're going to be able to get the lids, much less the food that goes into it. That's going to go up in price. Like, whatever you can buy right now from alexjonesstore.com, whatever you can buy right now, you should get it now, because essentially you're paying last year's prices for it. Whereas you do not want to end up paying 2026 prices for it by the time the closure of the Strait of Hormuz makes its way through this system. And, you know, I don't have inside information that there's for sure going to run out of bottles. I'm just saying that overall the polyethylene global supply will be drastically impacted. It will affect the Alex Jones store. It'll affect my store. It'll affect, you know, retail. It'll affect everything you see at the grocery store. So the effects of this are going to be widespread. There it is. Plastic supply chain, collateral damage in Iran war. And I know times are tight, but believe me when I say that whatever you can stockpile right now, you're getting it at the best price that you're going to see for a long time to come, a long time. Shortages will elevate automotive components, synthetic rubber, and consumer goods. And then we have copper and aluminum. Copper prices are already surging for reasons I've mentioned here. And aluminum, well, aluminum Bahrain has already declared force majeure. So there's no more aluminum coming out of that plant. And then there are scale backs at other aluminum plants that are happening in the Middle East and elsewhere. Pharmaceuticals, also, 47% of generic prescriptions come out of India. Not that I'm a fan of prescription medications, but the Strait provides the energy that India uses to manufacture the pharmaceuticals. So we're going to start seeing shortages of any kind of generic drugs and many other things. A lot of things come out of India. For example, turmeric, right? So even from the Alex Jones store, the turmeric, you know, India is the largest global grower of turmeric. And even if you don't get it from turmeric, India's shortage of it will affect the global supply. So it's going to get even worse if the Strait of Hormuz, I'm sorry, if the Suez Canal gets closed off because of the Houthis harassing ships at that choke point in the Red Sea. So now we're talking about, and they promised to do that, by the way, in solidarity with Iran. If that gets blocked, if ships can't traverse the Suez Canal, then, you know, my goodness, now we're talking about a real domestic, I mean, global crisis. Yeah, PU resin prices skyrocketing there. That's exactly right. So, you know, I get turmeric from India, and that may not be possible after a period of time. Who knows? As long as this strait stays closed, I'm saying the second and third order effects here are going to be almost unimaginable. So, all right, let's talk about force majeure. I'm going to give you a list of the companies that have already declared force majeure. Qatar Energy, as I mentioned, there goes, you know, 20% of the world's natural gas. Kuwait Petroleum Corporation, well, can't guarantee shipments. Babco Energies, they're down. Declared after a drone strike on one of the refinery complexes. Shell, LNG trading, declared force majeure because, of course, it can't deliver on the commitments of LNG. Total Energies LNG, OQ, Oman Trading, SABIC, Agri-Nutrients, SABIC, fertilizer shipments to South America and to Asia. Force majeure. You may have ordered the fertilizer. You may have put a down payment on it. You're not going to get it. Aluminum, Bahrain, Saudi Aramco declared force majeure. There's a major company, a major presence in the Middle East. Refinery operations shut down. ADNOC from the UAE, ADNOC from the UAE, refinery operations also shut down. Qatalum, that's aluminum production out of Qatar. Petrochemical Corp in Singapore has had to declare force majeure. Chandra Asri Petrochemical out of Indonesia, force majeure. Yeochun NCC in South Korea, force majeure on naphtha cracker operations. That's not a racial slur. That's a process for naphtha. Aster Chemicals, South Korea. Cracker is only running at 50% capacity. Sumitomo Corporation in Japan, force majeure. The fifth Asian chemical company in a single week. Why? No naphtha. Oh. And in India, there's also other force majeures taking place here as well. Other companies impacted by this. The bottom line is the situation is dire. And unless this gets back online, you are not going to see Western civilization function. Here's the reality of this. We have built a civilization on a pipeline that was always vulnerable, but it only functioned with the consent of Iran. Before Trump launched this war on Iran, Iran wasn't in a position to have, let's say, to have goodwill from much of the rest of the world if it initiated a war. In other words, if Iran had invoked strikes on U.S. military bases in the UAE or Qatar or Saudi Arabia, etc., if Iran had initiated that, then Iran would have been globally condemned, obviously. But when Trump launched the attack and initiated it, and then Iran responded to it, now there's a lot more sympathy for Iran around the world because Iran is the victim of a war of aggression that Trump launched. Trump initiated it. Despite the fact that he says, oh, Iran has been at war with us for 47 years. And I think he said that Joe Biden or Barack Obama started the war with Iran like 47 years ago or so. It didn't make any sense. I don't know what he was trying to say. Didn't make any sense. But the truth is that the U.S. initiated this war, not Iran. Iran was negotiating in good faith, even as the U.S. was negotiating in bad faith. And thus, when Trump initiated this war of aggression, this illegal, undeclared war of aggression against Iran, then when Iran retaliated against the Gulf state nations, now a lot of the world looks at that and says, well, can't blame them. Can't blame them because they were attacked first. Now Iran has been put in a position by Trump where Iran controls the Strait of Hormuz and will continue to harass ships until Iran is offered a deal that allows it to meet its terms. And that wasn't possible before Trump attacked Iran. So in essence, Trump fell into a trap of putting Iran into arguably one of the most powerful positions in the entire world, where Iran has the balls of Western civilization in its grip and it's squeezing. And all these Western countries, many of them I just mentioned, from Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Australia, US, Canada, the UK, France, all of them, they're going to be headed for industrial and energy collapse if the strait stays closed. Now, the US is more resilient than the other countries because the US has its own domestic energy supply. Thank goodness for that. We do need domestic energy. But there will be so much pressure on the cost or the price of those commodities, and oil is priced globally, it means that American consumers are going to end up paying much more for domestic oil, even though it's our own oil. The prices are going to go through the roof. Oil could easily hit $200, $250, even $300 a barrel if this closure continues to exist. And that's exactly the path that we are on right now. So in summary, we built a civilization on a supply chain that now is in the hands of someone that we made into an enemy, which is Iran. We made them into an enemy. And at the same time, Trump, through his punitive tariff operations, he turned other allies into potential enemies as well. He punished India. He put a 50% tariff on India, saying, you know, you can't buy oil from Russia. The same oil that Trump now says, oh, you're allowed to buy oil from Russia because I changed my mind. Because now there's a global oil shortage because I started this war with Iran. So now Russian oil is okay? But a few months ago, you get punished for buying Russian oil? See, there's no consistency. There's no plan. There's no foresight in this. You know, the White House says, well, we considered the implications of the Strait of Hormuz. No, you didn't. Or if you're admitting that you did, then you knew you were going to put the American people and all of our allies through this economic hell on a global scale. You knew that and you did it anyway. That's even worse than not knowing. It's more innocent to say we didn't know. We didn't consider these things. At least that's understandable. If you did consider these things and you did it anyway, then you thrust the world into a horrific situation that will impact billions of people, but will more strongly impact, in fact, the United States and its allies. And the ultimate upshot of this is that, number one, the U.S. is going to be driven out of the Middle East. Iran has already destroyed most of the military bases in the Arab Gulf states there, including the Fifth Fleet headquarters. It's rubble, or largely rubble, at this point. And secondly, the petrodollar is no longer carrying the weight that it once did. So all these nations around the world that had relied on the U.S. for protection, which includes Taiwan, by the way, and included Qatar and included the UAE, etc., what's their conclusion now? Well, the U.S. can't protect us. And South Korea is realizing, hey, when the U.S. wants to, they're going to come take our air defense systems away and hand them over to Israel to help defend Israel. And then what are we going to do here if there's a war with North Korea, right? So everywhere around the world, the message is very clear that the United States of America cannot and will not protect you, and that having a U.S. military base in your country only makes you a target from Iran or perhaps some other country that is very capable of overpowering the U.S. military. In doing this, Trump has shattered decades of diplomatic efforts that tried to establish U.S. leverage in the Middle East, leverage over energy, leverage against Iran. And the presumption of U.S. projection of power through its naval dominance, and that presumption is what backed the U.S. dollar. Because the U.S. dollar isn't backed by anything else at all. It's not backed by gold or silver or oil or anything other than basically the threat of force, largely by the U.S. Navy and its aircraft carriers, the very same aircraft carriers that are limping out of the region now. One of them set on fire. The Ford was set on fire, apparently by its own sailors, who have to now sleep on the floors and tables, and it's basically not battle-worthy at this point. And besides, they're giant floating targets anyway. So all of that has been shattered. So what does that mean for the future of the petrodollar? It means the petrodollar is toast. It means we are now witnessing the beginning of the end of the American empire that we have all known for our entire lives. It's over, because it relied on forcing everybody around the world to use the dollar, because if you don't, we're going to bomb you, we're going to kill you, we're going to assassinate you, etc. Iran just showed that if you take a stand and say no and hold your ground, the U.S. military is just a paper tiger. Can't actually control the Strait of Hormuz. Begging other countries to come in and help save our Navy. And the other countries are saying no. And actually, years earlier, Russia arrived at the same conclusion. Russia said no. Because, of course, the West wanted to pillage Russia. Wanted to overthrow Putin. And basically rob that country of its natural resources. Russia is sitting on the largest reserves of energy of any country in the world. Russia is massive. It's a massive, you know, geopolitical state sitting on a massive supply of energy and also aluminum and, you know, fertilizer, all kinds of other things. We wanted to steal all of that. That was evident from U.S. leaders. They said, we want to destroy Russia and go in and take all their energy, pillage the country. That's been the plan for Iran all along. We want to overthrow their leadership and go in and pillage their country. And now Russia and Iran have said, no, we won't let you do that. We don't care how much you try to bomb us. We don't care how many soldiers you throw at us via Ukraine. We don't care. And yes, you're showing a story there. Will the Iran war trigger a dollar crisis? Absolutely it will. Because, folks, wish we had more time. the force majeure that has been declared that I just mentioned, that is going to spiral into the financial sector. And we're already seeing record defaults in private equity. Private credit is hitting massive defaults right now. We're already seeing limits on withdrawals from lots of financial organizations, you know, BlackRock included and others. This is going to cascade through the system. And because the Western financial system is already highly leveraged with derivatives and money backed by nothing and a lot of currency printing that will cause continued devaluation of the dollar, then where we're going to end up here is in a cascading financial collapse of the Western banking system and Western currencies. Japan is already on the brink of a currency collapse. The EU also in deep trouble right now. And the dollar, although it may be the most resilient, it doesn't have permanency in this world without the continued threat of force projection by the U.S. Navy, and that's been shattered as well. The bottom line of where all this is going, I'm sorry to say, I didn't want this. I opposed the war from the very start. I mean, before it started, I was saying, don't do this. This is a bad idea. But the American people are going to end up impoverished. The American people are going to lose their ability to afford food in many cases. They're going to lose many of their investments. We will see bank failures. We will see bank bail-ins, and we will see the great taking accelerate. And people will lose everything that they once worked for and saved. And as all of this is happening, Trump will never take the blame for it. He will blame someone else. He will say, oh, it's Russia's fault. It's Iran's fault. It's whoever's fault other than himself, even though he made the call. So when you are poor and starving and homeless because you can't afford rent, Trump will tell you it's your fault because you didn't support his war. Think about that. That's how crazy it's actually getting here. So look, what can you do? What can you do to insulate yourself from all of this as much as possible? Number one, I already mentioned, stockpile some food if you can. Learn to grow food. Become as self-reliant as possible. Get off the grid as much as you can. And in my opinion, although don't take this as financial advice, I think you need to get out of the banking system. Whether that means gold and silver or private crypto, whatever is your choice, that's up to you. That's your research. That's your decision. But if you stay in the banking system with a lot of excess cash, if you stay in the stock market, if you stay in bonds, in my opinion, you're going to get decimated as this wave continues to accelerate. These are going to be the most dire consequences that Western civilization has ever felt. And sadly, we have an incomprehensible president right now who is absolutely committed to the path of total economic destruction of the United States of America. That's just a fact. And he's doing it in order to appease a foreign nation. He's putting Israel first and throwing America under the bus. And if he cannot reverse course on this, then in my opinion, he needs to be removed from power through impeachment or 25th Amendment or some other process. Otherwise, the American people will suffer drastically for years to come. And we could end up in a situation of domestic civil revolts, mass hunger, food insecurity, even kinetic uprisings in certain areas of the countries, especially the blue cities, for example. So let us pray that that doesn't happen. Let us pray that Trump comes to his senses. And if he doesn't, we need somebody else at the helm. Because this is not working. What he's doing is not working. Those are my conclusions and my opinions. And I say God bless America. I want America to do well, but we're on a bad track right now. So thank you for watching. And Mike Adams here on the Alex Jones Show. God bless America. Take care.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that. when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue Tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Mike, I'm listening to you as I drive. Your analysis is dead on, and I'm learning a lot. Can't wait till Michael Yon is on Thursday. He's an expert, as you know, on global choke points. He's been predicting this. But if you look at the globalist above Trump, obviously he's been manipulated in a useful tool here. Just like Lutnick, Microcosm's sons running his company bet against the tariffs that Lutnick wrote for the billions in insurance money. The globalists have wanted a great reset. They want a global crash. And so they released COVID to derail Trump's last administration. Now, this war is definitely that. I predicted it. So we need to study all the investments that the insiders have made at the White House and really expose that, because there's no doubt that the higher-ups knew what was happening. They were warned by Tulsi Gabbard and by Joe Kent and others in the months and weeks before. So how do we get that message out to the American people and to Trump and pull back from this, something that was designed to empower Israel, the greater Israel, but basically implode the United States in the end, which is part of Israel's larger plan, their own admissions. Mike Adams, thanks for hosting. Please give me your take.
All right, thank you, Alex, for that question. And you're exactly right. So this is being engineered as a great taking. So remember that all these commodities will cascade into the financial reset and a financial collapse that will cause most Americans to lose some significant portion. But who gains that? It's those who are positioned to take advantage of the financial collapse situations, you know, like what George Soros did to the UK years ago. Somebody profits from a financial collapse or even a currency collapse. And what I'm saying to people at a grassroots level is there are methods to avoid getting severely harmed. There are, you know, ways to avoid losing your life savings in that. That's at one level. So, you know, gold and silver, maybe private crypto, et cetera, or just owning land, owning actual physical things like diesel fuel will become extremely valuable. But to answer Alex's question at the higher level, yeah, this is engineered, and it's sad that Trump fell into it. I think Trump was given bad intelligence. Obviously, it was crafted to deceive him, to say that Iran was an imminent threat when clearly it wasn't. Joe Kent has confirmed that with his resignation letter today. Tulsi Gabbard has also previously confirmed that as well. Iran never posed an imminent threat to the continental United States, but Israel and other globalist sources, of course, they fabricated intelligence, and so they managed to convince Trump that he had to order this attack. So I think, Alex, what we're suffering from here is that Trump has once again allowed himself to be surrounded by bad faith actors who are insulating him from reality. And I think Robert Barnes would agree with this as well, that his inner circle doesn't let him interact with the real world or what used to be MAGA or, you know, go on social media. Instead, Trump is fed a specific diet of bad information that says, Trump, you're the hero. Keep bombing. It's going to make you the most popular president ever, which hasn't worked out. And secondly, that if you don't destroy Iran, that we're all going to be destroyed within a matter of weeks. But Israel's been saying that for decades. It's the same claim, decade after decade. So yeah, this is a giant trap. Trump fell into it. He went along with it. He didn't have to. He made a choice to order this war. And as a result, now we are all about to fall into a trap that has been set by the globalists for massive, massive confiscation of financial assets. And the level of destruction here, I mean, I wish I could get Aaron Day on too to talk about CBDCs, because the level of destruction here is going to, people are going to panic into the CBDCs in order to get government bailouts. That's what's going to happen. And then they're going to roll out the surveillance grid with the CBDCs. Hey, you're going to get this free money to help you with your food bills because food prices have doubled, but you're going to have to sign up for the CBDC that tracks and monitors everywhere that you spend your money. And then if you post something that we don't like on social media, then you'll be locked out of your wallet and you won't be able to buy groceries. That's where this is going. So it's all been engineered. Alex is right. It's all been engineered from the globalist level to trap people in a system of total enslavement. And the big picture, which I'll talk about on Thursday, is this is a human replacement agenda for the rise of the AI robots to replace human cognition and human labor. Ultimately, this is mass culling of humans on planet Earth. Massive depopulation. So there you go. Thanks for the question. And stay tuned, folks. 1 minute break, and then the show continues.
We have a new product in at thealexshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
All right, good morning, Goyim. Welcome back to InfoWars. My name is Elijah Schaefer. You might know me as the host, Slightly Offensive on Rift TV, and it's an absolutely fire afternoon. The news cycle is basically just riding itself. I mean, on one hand, you have Trump invoking the Holocaust. We're here, people. Look, I hate this idea of calling people anti-Semitic who are against this war in Iran, because technically the Persians are Aryans, number one, and the Israelis are not even actually real Jews. The Palestinians are Semites too, and so if you're anti-Semitic, then you're both anti-Palestine, anti 30% of Israel. So we've got to cut the crap here. There's a video posted today by AF Post, who's pretty reliable. They posted a clip of Trump. And the funny thing is, he's talking and he says something insane. We are at the level of disinformation. We are at the level of manipulation that we are no longer telling people we won. We're no longer telling people that, you know, this is mission accomplished, soldier, like George Bush said. Listen to this video. Trump legitimately starts saying, look, hey, actually Iran is like Hitler for real. Iran is like Hitler. Which, of course, is supposed to make you think that, like, yeah, remember the Holocaust? We got to go kill some brown kids in Iran, surrounded by mountains. Doesn't affect you in any way because, well, the Holocaust. Listen to this video, if we could play it here for a moment. And I want you to listen carefully exactly what he's saying, and we're going to break it down in just a moment. Let's play it.
With Iran. And they all acknowledge that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. You yourself say, you know, these are horrendous people. These are the worst people in... going back to Hitler, right? Going back to Hitler. These are the worst people. That's a long time ago. And there's been nothing close. Every problem, so many deaths, 90% of the people that got blown up by landmines, they loved them. You know, Soleimani, we killed him. If we didn't, it might be a different story, because he was a horrible person, but he was a very powerful person and leader and smart. But we killed him. If we didn't, I think you'd have it. I did. But I think we'd have maybe a different situation.
Wow. Very nice, Trump. You're sitting there in your house, Goyim, just walking around saying, I can't afford my food. And just like that loud announcement they used to play in the forest there in Vietnam. You guys remember that? That girl that would speak English? She would say, hello, you are a bad guy, G.I. Your country don't love you, G.I. Your country don't love you, G.I. You will die in the jungle, G.I. And we used to laugh at that stuff. You know, be like, oh, the communists, their propaganda, they think we're stupid, we're white Americans, we're a great country, you know, we're a fantastic nation. We beat World War I, we beat World War II, and you thought this is the propaganda from illegitimate regimes. And now, X in the mainstream media right now, in terms of the Iran war, essentially is just mirroring Vietnamese propaganda, and now you get the same thing, except now it's not in a Asian voice, and they're not directing the GI. They're talking to you, the Goyim, the cattle, and they're basically saying, they're like, oh yeah, you want to go to a war in Iran, don't you, Goyim? You love seeing your kids die, don't you, Goyim? You love dying in the deserts of the Middle East, don't you, Goyim? Don't worry about your high gas prices, Goyim. Your government loves you, Goyim. And at the same time, I'm asking you, you know, this revisionist history BS, where all Americans have been taught to think of our history as we had a revolution and then there was some civil war where we ended racism. Let's not talk about those, you know, hundreds of years of nation building where white men, you know, built the country, Christian men. Let's skip all that stuff. Let's go right to the fact that we were racist, you racist, white, hypocrite. And then they jump, what happens next? World War I happened. We talk a little bit about Franz Ferdinand or whatever it is that goes out there. And then we just talk about World War II. And then World War II is what, 70, 80, some people say 97 million people killed. But no, we're not allowed to talk about the white people that died. We're not allowed to talk about the North African people that died. We're not allowed to talk about Manchuria and Japan and their experiments. Oh, undereseyo, sushi. That's what we think of, you know, Japan today, even though they were objectively worse than Hitler in a lot of ways. They're the cute little, you know, dancing, you know, weirdos. We got to focus on one part of World War II. And that's Hitler, guys, because the Jews were targeted. Yeah, okay, so what? Tens of millions of white people died. Those are white people. And you would think, well, we would care about white people dying in America or the history of dying if what? We would care about it if we were a white nation. And we're not. We're multicultural. So then you would think, okay, well, then what would we care about World War II? We'd care about all the people that died. We would think about the brown people that died, the black Americans that died, the white Americans that died. But no, we don't care about anybody else in World War II except for the true victims of the world, the Israeli Jews, who were the victims of the Holocaust. We were always just such victims of the entire history. And now, because we were victims in World War II, we got to kill all the brown kids and you got to pay for it, Goyim. And they're going, look, I don't care. You don't have to be an anti-Semite to look at that and call that baloney. Like, that's just absolutely stupid. And it seems like our government cares so much more about their nation than they do our own. Now, the rumors have been out, right? Netanyahu died, Netanyahu died, Netanyahu died. Well, Mike Huckabee, I don't know if we watched it earlier, released this video. He was with Mike Huckabee, and it feels like we're in a simulation here where he proves that he's not dead. And it's like right now the American people are more interested in what's going on with Netanyahu than with Trump. Why? Because we know he's the one that's actually in power. And we know that because the only thing that matters in our history is what's happened to them. American history is Jewish history. American politics is Jewish politics. MAGA equals Zionism. And if you're not a Zionist, then you're not MAGA. Because Trump said Mark Levin is MAGA. Ben Shapiro is MAGA. The guy who wrote the op-ed in 2005. This has been over 21 freaking years, man, that Ben Shapiro has been conniving, sniveling, stacking coins up with super glue to make his bed frame. Here it's made out of gold. Some people say that it literally has foreskins on the tassels. I don't know if that's true. But the truth is, look, check this out. Netanyahu's alive. Hell yeah. America has still got their president, guys. Watch this.
Prime Minister, I wanted you to know the president asked me to come and make sure you were okay.
Yes, Mike. Yes, I'm alive.
I checked that, and I'm happy to see that. But he wanted to make sure because, you know, you guys get along too well.
I know, and we shake hands with five fingers in each hand. You know, but I have to tell you, I'm alive, but I have this card.
Oh.
And, yeah, don't read it. So it's a punch card.
Mm-hmm.
Today I raised two names on the punch cards, and you see how many more to go on this batch.
You know what the good news is? My name is not on the punch card.
Your name is on the list of the good guys.
Thank you.
And what the president and the U.S. forces are doing is incredible. We're very proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with them. And getting rid of these lunatics would like to develop nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them to every American city after wiping out Israel. They ain't going to do that. We're wiping them out.
I love it. Thank you, Mr. Prime Minister. Good to see you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you.
Look at that. Netanyahu couldn't just come out and say he was alive. He reminds the American public, I've got the punch card, baby. I have the names of the people that we're going to kill. And the fact is, like, if you meet a friend and they're like, I just want to remind you today, you're not on my list of people I'm going to murder. I don't feel like that's a very good friendship. Like, if your friends have to remind you, hey, by the way, every time you meet, by the way, check out this list. You're still not on my list of people I'm going to murder. Netanyahu isn't being friendly. He's telling Mike Huckabee, keep sucking me dry. Because I've heard that Netanyahu's getting tired of Lindsey Graham's lips. You know what I mean? Lindsey Graham has been his side chick for the last, 15, 20 years since Netanyahu addressed the Security Council at the UN asking in 95 for the U.S. to invade Iran. Now, 2004, Pat Buchanan wrote his book, Where the Right Went Wrong, directly predicting that the coalition forces and the neocon and the Zionist establishment, they didn't want to invade Afghanistan necessarily. They didn't care about Iraq. They didn't care about Libya. They didn't care about Egypt. They didn't care about Syria. They didn't care about Yemen or Oman. What they wanted was the crown jewel, and that was Iran. He said they are not going to let it go away. You thought that Bush was the end of the neocon establishment? Yeah, well, guess what? The neocons are like cockroaches. They don't die. And the problem with this is I'm not the only one noticing this. Now, if you're around here, people say all types of things. So people like myself and Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones, some people go after Candace or, you know, others. They say they lie and she comes with receipts. And then they don't know what to say about Charlie Kirk, so they kill him. They tried to assassinate Nick Fuentes, by the way, and his assassin was murdered, or killed, I should say, by police. Not murdered. He was killed, right? They tried to kill him. They're like, why did you kill Nick first? Well, they tried to kill Nick. And recently, the FBI actually is working with an informant in my company who bugged my office. It was a friend of mine, a family member. And this is public record domain. I'm going to trial the end of the year against the FBI director's girlfriend in this lawfare. Think of like the Sandy Hook stuff or the current lawfare going on with InfoWars. They've got me in these multi-million dollar lawsuits, secretly recording me, wiretapping me. This isn't the first time. And what are they doing? They're exploiting my life, exploiting my personal life, blackmailing me, blackmailing my friends. And guess what? Charlie Kirk didn't die for nothing. I'm going to make sure of that. They're not going to bully the rest of us. I'd rather be on Netanyahu's punch card than to ever get on my knees like Lindsey Graham does willingly. The only reason why Lindsey Graham has a short haircut is because he was tired of pulling his hair back, putting in a ponytail before he slopped up Netanyahu's sloppy seconds. Who was sucking Netanyahu out first? Yeah, it was Trump. I believe Trump actually might actually secretly be Jewish. And it's kind of weird because his brother went to a Jewish fraternity, which is very weird. And then Mark Levin called Trump the first Jewish president, and Trump didn't really rebuttal it. He actually hugged him and said, that's great. Now, why does that matter? It matters because this is a Christian nation. Yeah, we have Jewish people here. If you're Jewish and you watch the show, we're not against you. We're not inherently against other religions. We don't hate Muslims existing peacefully. But someone like Joe Kent, let's bring this up, director of the National Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, he's been on my show. He's a nice guy. People say he's a Peter Thiel construct. But that's besides the point. Joe Kent came out and said, look, I'm done with this too. People at the government level are saying, I came to serve the United States, not to leave. Check out this tweet. He said, after much reflection, I have decided to resign.
from my position as the director of the National Counterterrorism Center effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. It has been an honor serving under POTUS and DNI Gabbard and leading the professionals at NCTC. May God bless America. Yeah, and may he bless America. Last time I was in Austin, down in the InfoWars studios, we're up here in Dallas right now at the Rift studios. You know, we're starting back up our stuff. Like, you know, Alex is amazing, right? I mean, I respect the hell out of him. Alex helped me get into my career about a decade ago, was the first big voice that amplified me. I'll always say that on the show. He's the real deal. But last time I was at the studio, I remember Alex was sitting there. And probably the first time Alex and I hung out, you know, sober. But he's doing good now. He's healthy. You know, good for him. Me too, by the way. So we're both doing a lot better because you got to be sharp when you're fighting these people. These are degenerates. These are pedophiles. These are satanic elite. These are Zionists. These are people who hate you. And Alex was sitting there and he looked at me like this. He's like, hey, let's not talk about Israel. I was like, I didn't say I was going to talk about Israel. He's like, yeah, we're not talking about that today. Because I told him, and I was like, okay, fine. Then he comes on my show a couple months later and I call him out. I'm like, Alex, as a friend, by the way, as a friend, in a loving way, I'm like, Alex, I think you have PTSD from the Sandy Hook stuff. Kind of afraid to tell people the truth right now about what that one topic because you know they're going to crush you. Now, Alex and myself, we did get crushed. People do crush us for telling the truth. But here's the craziest thing. They were able to do that in the past because there was maybe just a few select individuals in the commentator class talking about these topics. But now you have everybody talking about the elephant in the room. Why is it that Israel controls our foreign policy? Why is it that you can be deported from the United States for speaking out against the Zionist objectives and get deported? Why is it easier to get deported for being a student joining a protest against the war in Gaza than it is to get deported for being a murderer? Like, these are the questions you got to ask yourself. And the real reason why is, like Joe Kent says, look, I didn't sign up to serve the United States of Israel, okay? And it's funny. It's like, I didn't sign up for this. Well, I didn't sign up for it either, Joe. Joe Kent's nice. And I saw Alex the last few days just being like, look, this is horrible. And I saw him ripping and changing and showing his true colors. Like, look, we are the Zionist States of America, the United Zionist Federation of America. And I want to jump down here on this block. I got a screenshot towards the bottom here. This says, I was wrong to vote for Trump. And I'm going to explain that to you guys. I voted for him three times in three different elections. Media Matters put up an article. I was on a show recently with the host of America First, Nick Fuentes. And, you know, he took a pretty controversial approach the last election. And I spoke to him on the phone and he was like, why are you telling your audience to vote for Trump? He's going to get us in a war with Iran. And I talked to Alex about it. I talked to a lot of people about it. And we were convinced, like, Trump said no. He's not going to do that. J.D. Vance and Trump dozens and dozens and dozens of times said, yeah, no, oh, no, well, we're not going to do that. That's out of bounds. And I'm stupid. I'm a stupid retard. I'm not going to speak for Alex, but Alex and I were wrong. A lot of people were wrong. And Nick Fuentes was right about that. And then people owe an apology, to be completely honest. They told me, I just got a call right now, and the apology department is overnighting a couple apology cards. I think we need a few dozen million to pass out in the Nick Fuentes was right again cards. And that just shows you a lot of our blindness as commentators and our innocence of still trusting in institutions. No more. I'm done with the institutions. Nick, yeah. I admitted to him. I said, I was wrong. And Media Matters like, what the hell? You admitted that you shouldn't have voted for Trump? And you know what? I always say, look, he did drop my espionage wiretapping investigation. I was under investigation from wiretapping for taking pictures of sensitive documents in Nancy Pelosi's office on January 6th. I was being investigated. I had my bank records taken, my phone records taken by the FBI. I was being tracked and followed. You had the CNN, you know, investigation team calling my old, you know, secretaries at church and to get any information they could. Why? Because of course my footage exposed that Ray Epps started the violence and the FBI didn't like that. And I've been on their hit list for a while. Alex has been on their hit list even longer. But the problem is right now everyone's on their hit list. Nobody at all is innocent or beyond the ability to be taken down. And it's game time, baby. When Joe Kent, the Peter Thiel construct, says, I'm out, this isn't good. This is extremely bad. And you would say, well, what does the Trump administration say to something like that? Did they wake up and just say, wow, maybe America's really mad. Maybe we should just stop spending billions and billions of dollars bombing a country that has no point of being bombed right now. Well, no, look what Leavitt said. Caroline Leavitt, she should stay back in the beauty pageants. You and Erica Kirk need to get back on the stage in bikinis or something like that and stop yip-yapping and telling us what to do. Feed your family. You know what I mean? She said, there are many false claims in this letter, but let me address one specifically, that Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. This is the same false claim that Democrats and some in the liberal media have been repeating over and over. As President Trump has clearly and explicitly stated, he had strong and compelling evidence that Iran was going to attack the United States first. The evidence was compiled from many sources and factors. President Trump would never make the decision to deploy military assets against a foreign adversary in a vacuum. Iran is the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. The Iranian regime is evil. It proudly killed Americans, waged war against our country, and openly threatened us all the way up to the launch of Operation Epic Fury. Iran was aggressively expanding their short-range ballistic missiles to combine with their naval assets to give themselves immunity, meaning they would have a degree of capabilities that would give them immunity to hold us and the rest of the world hostage. Oh, like they're doing right now? Anyways. The regime aimed to use ballistic missiles as a shield to continue achieving their ultimate goal of nuclear weapons. The president, through his top negotiators, gave the regime every single possible opportunity to abandon this unacceptable course by permanently giving up their nuclear ambitions in exchange for sanctions reliefs, free nuclear fuel, and potential economic partnerships with our country. But they would not say yes to peace because obtaining nuclear weapons was their fundamental goal. President Trump ultimately made this determination that a joint attack with Israel would greatly reduce the risk to American lives. We can end that there. So Caroline Leavitt's calling Joe Kent a liar. She's calling him a liar. She's saying they were a threat to us. Okay, by who? Oh, what did Trump say? Who told him they were a threat? Jared Kushner, a Jewish man, who probably also backed it up. They don't have the evidence. Ivanka Trump, who converted to Judaism. So now Trump has these Jewish children that are giving him orders. He's got this Jewish associated brother giving him orders. He's got these Jewish donors, Miriam Adelson and the like, who he said, if you take their money, you can't be trusted in 2016. And he said, Marco Rubio, he's a liar. You can't trust him. Then Trump takes $100 million from Miriam Adelson, decides to go to war with Iran. And who's the Secretary of State advising Trump about the surety of going into that place? Oh, Marco Rubio, lying Marco Rubio. What the hell happened, Trump? Are you really MAGA, or is your base turning on you because you've turned your backs on us? And these idiots, these grifters, these pathetic, deceptive rats, Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, the rest of the neocon establishment, Shabbos Kestenbaum, the hell name is that, brother? Even if I was trying to be anti-Semitic, I couldn't come up with a more stereotypical name for a traitor to the United States. You sick and disgusting, disease-ridden rat. Capital letters, R-A-T. It's like Jordan Peterson said to Nick Fuentes, oh my gosh. He's like high on benzos, puff a clonazepam, accept $20 million from Ben Shapiro, sit back in a two-tone suit and go like, well, you know, you gotta make your bed, bucko. You know, down there, it's kind of crazy because everybody who opposes this war is just a rat. Hey, go to rehab, Jordan. I hope you do. Should try to get sober like Alex and I did, because benzos are nice, you know. But war in Iran is going on. You know about that one? Yeah, the war in Iran's going on, and clonazepam ain't going to take the pain of a multi-trillion dollar extended proxy cold war. I'm sick of this. And damn right, the rest of America is too. This is not an anti-Semitic decision. This is a pro-America decision. I want to reference one or two more things. If we can bring up the tweet here about Leavitt, the proof Leavitt was a liar. Leavitt said that Iran was a threat. These people can't keep their story straight. Leavitt said just the other day, this posted story should be immediately retracted by ABC. They wrote this based on one email that was sent to local law enforcement. I think this was talking about the attack on California. She says, to be clear, no such threat from Iran to our homeland exists, and it never did. I rest my case, Your Honor. If the glove doesn't fit, then you must acquit. They call us anti-Semites. They told us we hated Jews. They told us we were just racist. And the whole time, we were the Americans. We were the patriots. And who were they? Foreign infiltrating ops in our government, using our politicians like their lapdogs, mocking us from the highest levels of power, saying, guess what, Goyim? Go send your children to die in the desert. We'll be right back with more. I'll see you in a moment.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Resistance.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Sweet dreams
are made of the end. Welcome back, Info Warriors, and the rest of you who are casually watching. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I am the host of Slightly Offensive on RiffTV.com. You can find my show on Rumble and on YouTube, X, Riff TV, or at Elijah Schaefer on X to get more news. We were just discussing, for those joining, the absolute mess and conundrum that's happened with this Iran war, with Joe Kent, the director of the Counterterrorism Center, resigning, calling this recent intrusion to Iran absolutely unacceptable. Caroline Leavitt, the spokesperson for Trump, who probably would do better as a bikini model, to be honest. I mean, she is hot, but do we really want hot women running our country? The whole reason why our founding fathers put an age limit on the office is so that a bunch of simps didn't vote 19-year-old OnlyFans models to be the president and senators. We would have, I'm sure. We're like that as guys. But I guess we got something kind of close. Anna Paulina Luna, she is an underwear model. We have underwear models. Think about that for a second. Isn't that weird? You can go look at one of our congresswomen who's very pro-war Iran in her underwear, but it's not because it got leaked, right? Usually, if a congressperson had pictures of when they're in their underwear or naked or something, it was because it got leaked. It was blackmail. In 2026, we just got hot chicks posting thirst traps and then getting into office. The hell is going on, people? Listen to me. We should go to war with Iran. Anyways, here's my boobs. By the way, Anna, I don't want to see your boobs. Lindsey Graham's already got a nice enough set, okay? He's a chunky monkey. We all love the way that he serves the foreign state. Mike Huckabee, the rest of them, it's sick. And you know what? You would ask yourself, with all of this, if the director of the Counterterrorism Center, if every single major patriot that fought for Trump is defecting because we're realizing that we are loyal to the Constitution. Sorry, Trump. We're loyal to our Constitution. We're not loyal to you. And if you defect from the Constitution, you're out, bud. And now the influencers, there's a class of influencers that are still on board with this. One of those individuals, his name is Sean Farage. It doesn't matter. Owen Schroyer, a good friend of mine, also a previous host here at InfoWars, put out a really simple tweet yesterday. If I could bring this up. He says, it was 95 degrees in Austin yesterday. It's 45 degrees now. Very, 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 very controversial statement. Wow, Owen, how could you do that? How dare you? Can we spin this to make you seem stupid? Well, Sean did, a very pro-Trump individual. Owen is not taking a pro-Iran war stance. So instead of disproving anything that Owen said about the Iran war, Sean Farage takes this tweet and says, apparently Owen Schroyer just discovered what a cold front is. Cold fronts are obviously an Israeli psyop, guys. Ha! Okay. First of all, they are. Everybody knows that every time it gets cold and you can't go outside, the Jews are to blame. No, I'm totally joking. Okay. That's the point. Like, I have stubbed my toe and blamed the Jews before, but it didn't get me anywhere. At a certain point, you have to realize you can't just blame the Jews for everything. You could. It's possible. It connects in some way, but it's lazy. It's immature. It's not really the most productive or constructive way to win the masses, right? This whole Wignat, let's all just wear swastikas and, you know, be like Ryan Gosling in that, you know, white supremacist movie and, you know, Sieg Heil Hitler or whatever, you know, it's like, that's not going to do anything. That's not going to win people over. The reality is you got to be honest with the public. You got to tell them Donald J. Trump is not the 47th president of the United States. Benjamin Netanyahu is. And people like Sean Farage are so mad that some of us still have decency and credibility to say, look, I did vote for Trump. I told people to vote for him. But hey, guess what? This is an Israeli psyop. So what do they always do? Here's what they do to discredit us. You just tell people like Owen did what the temperature is in the room. And they're like, oh, is that an Israeli psyop too? And the answer is yes. Cold temperatures are a Jewish psyop. No, Sean, you freaking idiot. Sometimes when we say something is Israeli psyop, we hold it off for things that actually are. And the Iran war is an Israeli psyop. If you are believing that the Iran war is being won right now, you are in a psyop. If you believe that we already won the war in Iran, you have been psyoped. If you believe Donald Trump controls our country, you have been psyoped. Because I'm going to tell you this, Trump admitted himself that the reason why we invaded Iran was two reasons. One of the reasons was that Jared Kushner told him that they were going to build 10 nukes. Bill O'Reilly backed that up on Glenn Beck's show on Blaze TV. Where do you get your information from in Texas? Do you get it from Blaze TV, Mark Levin, and Glenn Beck? people who begged, Glenn got on his knees and begged Bibi Netanyahu for citizenship? What the hell, mate? You got a problem. You got to trust real sources. Out of Austin, InfoWars. We're kicking back. Think about this. We got Rift TV in Dallas, InfoWars in Austin. Is it that all of us are just switching up on Trump, or is it maybe that the truth is growing and people like Sean Farash are getting paid? Guys, I've been working with the GOP as a lobbyist. I've been working with the GOP as an influencing marketer. I've done a lot of jobs in the background. I'm going to tell you how this works. The same people that still support Trump today, the people that are supporting the war, are being paid by influencer marketing agencies, NGOs, and nonprofits. And I'd like to give you a little insight into the background. I'm not going to violate my NDAs. I'm not going to get into another lawsuit, but it's fair enough to tell you how it works. The way that it works and the way that they drum up support on X, there are certain groups. There's three primary groups that are influencing marketing agencies. What they do is they take money from an NGO, usually a Protestant Zionist NGO that is a money front, essentially like a money laundering front, to try to change public opinion. What do I mean by this? A wealthy donor will see that, let's say, people are saying that Bibi Netanyahu's dead, and it's hurting the credibility of Netanyahu's government. A campaign will go out. The company will receive $500,000, like that much money, and for like one day's of tweets, and they will be told, you need to change the public opinion on Netanyahu. They'll put together a 2 to 3 page document that has a goal. It is sent to you in an encrypted document that you have to open up using your email and password. When you open the document up, it says confidential, confidential, watermarked all over it. They have your IP address printed all over the document. So if you share the document with people, it can be traced back to you and you can go to jail or be sued for up to $15 million. And then when you read the document, it has a PDF reader that's like, it's like an Asian person's eyesight. You know, you've seen an Asian driver and you're like, what are they seeing? But it's got a, like an Asian eyesight. You can only see one line at a time as if you're in some sort of a CIA movie. And you go and you scroll up, you read one line, line bifurcation. And it says what? Tweet out this. And it's a direct message that will say like, Netanyahu is alive. Everybody is stupid. And you know how much money you get for this? Even if you're a small account, you can get up to $750 for one tweet plus $2 for every 1,000 impressions. Now you see people that take the money from these people, like DC Drano, who's a Jewish entertainment lawyer from LA, who's now residing in another state, sort of posing as a conservative leader. Millions of followers, by the way. One of the most viral tweets of all time is taking, I would say, potentially millions of dollars from these people per year, looking at his impression rate. While they're laughing at you, jumping in cash, our soldiers are dying. And I say to people like DC Drano, and I won't say his real name. That's his screen name. I don't want to dox anyone here. But it's like I say to these people, is it worth it? You sold out your country for $750? That 7,000 number is fake, by the way. That's not what they're getting. They're getting about the 5 to 750. Some are getting 1,000 per tweet. And then small accounts that have like no following get $100 per tweet plus per performance. You can raise your family in the United States by lying to the American people directly. And that's an opportunity that a lot of people won't pass up. And I'm going to tell you this confidently and securely on my grave, that the only individuals on X who still support Trump on the Iran war are being either paid by one of these influencer marketing agencies, or they are being paid by an NGO / nonprofit like PragerU or Turning Point. Why do I know that? Well, Turning Point already has two instances. Two, where they came out and they directly countersignaled Charlie Kirk. They said that Charlie Kirk was pro-Iran war. I have a video here. Charlie tried to warn us. They put out a tweet being like, Charlie said that Iran should be westernized again. Charlie can't speak for himself. Charlie's dead, but I can speak for Charlie, probably better than his widow. What's going on with that? I grieve more over killing a fly in my house than it seems that woman grieves over her husband. And I am not trying to widow shame. I'm not going to accuse her of anything. I feel bad for her. I feel bad for her children. But something is very freaking wrong with that woman's dispensation here. Check out this video. Charlie Kirk did warn us. Watch what he had to say before he was shot, I believe, in advance of this Operation Epic Fear. And I have evidence we'll talk about later. Let's get into the video.
Does have a conventional military. They are a proud and they are a big country. Possible case scenario, is Iran says, okay, you humiliated us, you killed all of our leaders. We're going to go make this a regional mess and try to get as many people involved as possible. They're going to go after Americans. They're going to go after Saudis. They're going to go after everybody imaginable just to create a big mess and to try to draw the world into it. Just understand, the Iranian people are widely respected and not necessarily are always in sync with leadership. But if and when the people of Iran feel like Persia is being defaced and humiliated and disrespected, we don't know where that is going to go. And that's my final reason why I am always skeptical of military intervention. And when a lot of the sometimes warmongering wing gets too excited, you don't know, actually. You need to have a lot of humility.
Yeah, you do. Charlie was a good friend, rest in peace, to a lot of us. He was wrong on Israel for a long time, but he was switching up. I'm going to touch back on Turning Point because I have some information that I believe. I think we know why they killed Charlie now, and I want to drop that here. This is not an unsubstantiated hearsay. This is effective reporting and journalism. I helped build the timeline for January 6th with the New York Times. I mean, we don't really trust the mainstream media, but it's always funny. The New York Times trusts me to build a credible timeline of a serious alleged terrorist event. But of course, when I tell people what's really going on, they always say, oh, what? I don't believe you. You know, it's like, oh, Alex, I don't believe you. And Alex will be like, they're going to crash a plane into the Twin Towers. Osama bin Laden is going to crash a plane into the Twin Towers, and then they're going to try to take him down. And everyone's like, oh, Alex, you nut job, you Sandy Hook liar. And what happens? Well, planes crash into the Twin Towers. So what he's saying right there is, look, we don't know what's going to happen. And the thing is James O'Keefe, the director of O'Keefe Media Group, remember he was kicked out of Project Veritas, an organization that was pledged to expose government corruption in the intelligence communities and the surrounding offices. Now, there was a man named Matthew Tierman, a Jewish individual, who led a coup against him and got him kicked out and essentially shut the company down. It's still operating on its skeleton, but it's not any effectively where it was before. He shut this down on false allegations. Oh, my gosh, a Jew lying? Apparently it happens, according to my producer. I didn't know that. I wouldn't say that. That'd be anti-Semitic. However, what happened is that he got Matthew Tierman on secret camera recently, proving that he works with the FBI in New York. This is important because not only did Matthew Tierman threaten to kill James O'Keefe, and that's very serious considering Charlie Kirk was killed, but it turns out James uncovered that there was some sort of an operation with the FBI to discredit right-wing and conservative media figures, to dismantle conservative or right-leaning organizations that went against state objectives. Now, when we start to look at the victims of lawfare, when we start to look at the victims of who's been attacked and taken down in the last year, let's look at this. Candace Owens, the FBI, she reported the FBI, a Jewish man tried to kill her and the FBI arrested him. Charlie Kirk was murdered and we have no answers. An assassin tried to kill Nick Fuentes and thankfully he survived, right? Now, just recently, I had the FBI work with an FBI informant, bug my offices, blackmail my investors, completely shut down my company, which relaunches April 1st, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Central. Should watch that, Rift TV Rumble, and on YouTube. And they also got into my personal life. Now, we don't talk about our personal life on the show, but guys, they got to my family members. That's how vindictive they are. And I talked to a few people. I called some people, right? They've already been going after Alex. We're used to that. I'm like, what does that mean that they're trying to discredit and take down conservative and right-leaning figures that don't meet up with state objectives? Oh my gosh, I'm so freaking stupid. Once Operation Epic Fury started to go, between the time that Charlie Kirk was murdered, the assassination of attempts, and all of these things and taking down my company, the FBI and these informants said, anybody who's against state objectives, a.k.a. Israeli objectives, a.k.a. ahead of Operation Epic Fury, they prepared for this moment. Goyim, stop being stupid. Open up your freaking mind and realize that there was an attempt to discredit every single person, including what did Tucker Carlson say the other day? The CIA is trying to frame him for a crime. And what is all of these ex-Israeli agents saying? Like Shabbos Kestenbaum? Larry Loomer? They're going, oh, hey, India's great now. You saw that, Laura Loomer? India's great, but you know what's not great? Tucker Carlson. Why isn't Tucker Carlson good? Oh, yeah, because he's against the Iran war. Yeah, that makes sense. Why was Candace Owens, why should she be killed? Oh, she's against the Iran war too and against Zionist objectives? Okay, well, that's just a coincidence. It's just two people. Wait,
You're telling me they tried to assassinate Nick Fuentes? What is his platform? Oh, what the heck? Nick Fuentes is against Zionism and Israeli subversion of the U.S. interests? Okay, okay. Now we're getting three people. But come on. There's not anybody else that could be there. Oh, then they went after a smaller organization, RIFT TV, the whole organization, everybody that worked there, every single person. They created a dossier, a 27-page dossier, lifting my records, getting private tweets from my family, everything, messages, DMs, to destroy my life based on lies. Who was behind that? Oh, a Jewish guy. And who was that guy working for last? Oh, Matthew Tiermond. And who was Tiermond working for? Oh, the FBI. And what does it say at the end of the dossier to take down my company? I would like to work with Kash Patel. Please pass this dossier to the FBI. Oh, okay, that's four people. But maybe it's still a coincidence. All right, F it. You mean Tucker, you're saying Tucker Carlson is being targeted too? And you know, let me guess. He's against the war in Iran. And he's against the imperialist regime of constant military-industrial complex spending. All right, okay. Well, there's one guy dead and five other people threatened to be killed, murdered, destroyed, and blackmailed, all sharing one thing in common. We are all black women at heart, Candace. No, I'm kidding. It's that we are against the war in Iran. So this was a planned, coordinated effort. Now, I've been an investigative journalist. I told you, I've been published all around in CNN. I've been on Tucker Carlson, on Primetime at his height. I've been on every conservative podcast. I've been on every single network. And I was credible my entire life. But now when I say this is what's going on, the establishment says you're a liar and you're a fraud. How about this to the establishment, Caroline Leavitt, to Donald Trump? How dare you? How dare you mock the blood of our ancestors? We have friends that died in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Those were our dads. Those were our moms. Those were our brothers. Those were our sons. There are parents grieving right now. There are parents crying because their kids are dead. There's 7-month-old kids, man. Twins and a little kid. You saw that soldier? They're going to grow up without a dad. I'm a dad. I got two beautiful kids, you know? Alex is a dad. And we're going to sit here and I'm going to think about my kids growing up without a father. The devastation that would cause. Kids are growing up without a dad. Because Lindsey Graham couldn't finish his masturbation session sitting in front of the Israeli flag soaked in the blood of Gazan children. He couldn't finish and the Viagra just wasn't working. So we just had to go to another war and kill a couple more Arabs, a couple more Persians for Israel. And I'm sick of it. And you know what? I don't think I'm the only one. Let's go down to block D for a second here to the first video. Trump called upon the individuals in NATO. You know, we're working together in a coalition against Ukraine. And he said, you know, please send your boats to the Strait of Hormuz. We need your help. And, well, unfortunately, no one wants to get involved. And now he's mad. I thought we won, Trump. Now he says we're leaving NATO. Trump says we are leaving NATO. That's the first video in Block D that we're going to watch right now. Check this out. He's so mad. He's not only turning on his base. He's not only turning on the Republic. He's turning on his allies, all in the name of Zionist supremacy. Check this out.
Are you rethinking United States' relationship with NATO, possibly getting out?
I'm disappointed in NATO that we spend trillions of dollars on NATO. Think of it, trillions over the years, many trillions of dollars. It's one of the reasons we have deficits and we help other countries. And when they don't help us, I mean, it's certainly something that we should think about. I don't need Congress for that decision. As you probably know, I can make that decision myself. I'd work with some very smart people. And I'd always deal with Congress anyway, but I don't need Congress for that decision. But, you know, when you say rethink, I have nothing currently in mind, but I will say that I'm not exactly thrilled when we help them with Ukraine. Look, Ukraine would have been over in one day if we didn't help. Frankly, Ukraine would have been over in the first day. They had the best equipment in the world. It was our equipment, given by sleepy Joe Biden. No charge. Hundreds of billions of dollars of the best equipment in the world. No charge. I will say that I'm not happy about it.
Mr. President, two questions.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in NATO. Now, some of you guys in the Rumble chat, we encourage you to watch across platforms. InfoWars, you watch on Alex, watch on the Rumble. Please support the show. We need your guys' support. The viewer is the power. Someone asked, a bunch of people asked, are you getting paid? I'm going to answer you quite frankly, no. At one point, I was getting paid, but I'm not anymore. And that's why I'm able to speak freely. I've given up the golden handcuffs. I work for myself. I own this company, Rift. Just like Alex owns his, it's very hard to run because everyone's taking away our money and our opportunities, first chance they get. I get money from only two places, my own products that I put on my show and donations from the people that watch the show. And that's why I can talk like this, because nobody's calling me telling me that I can't say what I want. Now, it's not just the fact that NATO is giving up. We have a video of French President Emmanuel Macron. Now, I know the French, we have a very iffy relationship as Americans. We don't really respect them. But Macron says, look, he's not involved with this. This is a U.S.-Israeli objective. This is not a global objective. That's why I don't think it's going to be a world war. I call it World War 2.5. Alex calls it World War 4 because the Cold War was World War 3. It's 2.5 to me because it's the proxy before we actually get into one in the next 25 to 30 years. Check out this video from Macron saying he's against this. It doesn't benefit anyone. Watch.
Je redis ici, la France n'a pas choisi cette guerre. Prenons pas part, et nous avons une position purement défensive en protection de nos ressortissants, en soutien de nos alliés.
Notre objectif, yeah, he says, support our nation. Our objectives are clear. They have been defined. The day one-on-one has not changed. The first is to protect our citizens, our diplomatic and military bases and our interests in the region. The second directive is to stand alongside all our partners, those with whom we are linked by defense agreements, alongside whom we will often go in the fight against terrorism for security and for regional stability. And so we have honored our word and we continue to honor it. We are loyal to our partners and we have provided them with a very clear support from the beginning, which is to help them protect their own population. Let's end that there. So Macron says the obvious. This Iran war is not about our partners. This is not about NATO objectives. We are not protecting the American people. Caroline Levitt admitted, we are not protecting the American people. Joe Kent resigned from the counterterrorism unit and said this war is not about protecting the American people. But Jared Kushner said it is. But Bill O'Reilly said it was. Jesse Waters said it was. Paid actors, liars, scammers, fraud. I'm done. How about the people that put their lives on the line? How about the people that have been willing to go to court and fights and destruction all for the sake of making sure you guys have the truth? And the reason why we're all carrying the same message isn't because we have some backdoor meetings where we want to counter-signal the MAGA movement. We have meetings. No, we don't. Oh, because we're all getting paid by someone? No, we're not. We all make our own income from different sources. What we have in common is this. We stand solely against one ideology right now, and that is the Zionist terrorist ideology that has infected the United States like a cancer. Now, the problem with this is we are at day 18 of really not seeing, I guess probably day 18. I mean, is it really day 18 without seeing Netanyahu seen in public? I'll get that right. Maybe it's a little bit less than that. That's crazy if that headline's true. But I want to end with this. I've been living in the United States of America for 32 years. I've worked around the world. I worked in China. I've worked in South Korea, worked in Australia and Mexico, El Salvador. I've worked with multiple countries on diplomatic and lobbying missions, in liaisoning. I've worked with the United States government, Democrats. I've even worked with Gavin Newsom's campaign in California. I'm going to tell you that this fight goes far beyond the left and the right. This fight goes far beyond Republican and Democrat. This fight goes way beyond MAGA or neocon. This is a fight for the soul of America. This is our destiny, our blood right, our blood promise. This is our birthright about whether or not we inherit the country that we want, whether or not we're able to clean up the streets in our cities, build the infrastructure that we need, get the illegals deported out of our country. Guys, my name is Elijah Schaefer. Remember, never Vance, never Rubio, never neocon, America first. Thank you guys so much again for watching. Catch my show Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Central on Rumble and YouTube and on X. Check out Rift TV. I'll see you there. To all InfoWarriors, have a good afternoon.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.